जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं निथिल्या प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नमाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सौ श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की बृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namami Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanda Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्दियं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाहुं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तसिद्धान्तसरस्वती नामिने श्रीवर्षभानुविदेवी दैताया कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धाभसिद्धान्तद्वान्दहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोदे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगमराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमे स्वं निर्दोष्टा सज्जनप्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्नि गौरत्वशे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नामी मुक्तशात्विकम् कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तुते ृदोपाङ्गोर्मन्दमदेर्गति मत्सर्वसपदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ व्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमद्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीश्रीराधाशैलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्टालिभि सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्नासरसारम्भि वंशीवटतटस्थिता कृष्णन् वेणुस्वनिर्गोपैर्गोपीनाथा श्रियेस्तु नः तप्तकाञ्चनगौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावन वृषभानुसुते देवी हरिप्रिये श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Last time, Sunday, when we were discussing this verse, Krishna mentions there, they are difficult verses to fully realize it, because Krishna has spoken a lot of things in that chapter, which probably if you go through it again, you may get some understanding. Krishna says, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, in the 10th verse, Krishna is saying, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, Suyate Sa Characharam, Hetu Nanena Kaunteya Jagad Viparivartate. That's one important verse in that chapter. Generally, we take that verse simply, oh, Krishna is controlling everything, that's it. They finish that with that. But if you look into the verse before, Krishna mentions there, Najamam Thani Karmani Nibadhanti Dhananjaya Udasinava Dasinam Asaktam Teshu Karmasu. Krishna mentions in the verse before that, isn't it? Having said that, then Krishna is saying, what's my relationship with Prakriti? That's what is important. In the earlier verse, Krishna is saying, Najamam Dhani Karmani, I don't do any karmam, Krishna says. Karmam has nothing to do with me. In other words, whenever Krishna is saying like that, you have to remember, Krishna is talking on the platform of the soul. Soul has nothing to do with karmam in this world. Whatever karmam we are doing, it has no impact on the soul as far as the activities are concerned. Soul is completely independent. That quality of the soul is what is spoken there. Najamam dhani karmani nibadhanandi. Never bound. Soul is never bound any time. Soul cannot be bound. Krishna showed this in 2-3 occasions while he was here. How soul cannot be bound. We will come to that later. Najamam dhani karmani nibadhanandi. Under no circumstances you can bind the soul anywhere. Soul is so independent. And that's why Krishna is stressing there, Udasinava Dasinam Asaktam Teshu Karmasu. But when you look at me as though a lot of work is happening through this body, Krishna is saying, through him, a lot of work is happening. Because if you look at Krishna's activities here, in this world, from beginning to end, it's full of action, isn't it? Krishna was not like others. It was full of action from beginning to end. Udasinava Dasinam Asaktam Teshu Karmasu. Even karmam is happening, but I have nothing to do with it. This is Krishna's situation. There's a lot to learn from these verses. We'll come to that a little later. Then Krishna is saying, even though it is like that, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. Prakriti is continuing her activities under in my presence. I am the Adhyaksha. Adhyaksha means one who is supervisor, or not supervisor, one who, in whose presence everything happens. In his presence is sufficient. Aya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Hedu nanena kaunteya jagad vipari vartate. Arjuna, he says that jagad vipari vartate. Continuous changes that's happening in this creation is also due to that. Because of my presence. that my presence is sufficient that the material nature can continue with her activities in the way it goes on here. So there we have seen last Sunday also that this one particular aspect, that the soul inside we presents, who is present in everyone, which is the one soul that is present in everyone, which probably we may not recognize it. Initially we will always see that in the early stages as separate everything because of the body. Body thinks everything is separate. Body is separate, soul is not separate. Soul is that one presence who is present in everyone. That souls we have seen there, that the when you look through the they give the example of the projector. We talked about that Sunday. Projector has got its the glass, the lenses, the film and the light, isn't it? So when the light comes through the film and through the lenses, it falls on the screen and you have a complete movie going on there. Similarly, our vasanas inside, when behind that is the soul. The soul presents in the soul of presence inside, and the vasanas are there, and through that it comes out, and what comes out through the senses is the world. This relationship we have to take very seriously. We are always thinking world is what we see with the eyes, isn't it? It has no meaning in the Shastram. What you see through the eyes has no meaning in the Shastram. The world what we generally refer to and the world what is spoken in the Vedic philosophy is totally different. Totally different. Why? World normally, when we see, for example, we have got five senses, right? So the soul comes through these five senses and experiences the world. Suppose we had one more sense instead of five, six senses, the experience will be different. Experience will be different, isn't it? Instead of five, suppose you had another extra sense. Now we have five, the five senses of knowledge through which the soul comes out and experiences the world. Instead of five, suppose we had six or seven or eight senses, which Krishna could have created if he wanted, isn't it? And through these eight senses, if it comes out, it will experience the world in a different way. Similarly, if you look into other living entities, there from the amoeba onwards, amoeba is a single cell element, a single cell life, isn't it? It doesn't have all the five senses we have. It is probably one sense. And there are many animals and birds who have got two or three senses. The plants doesn't have the same number of senses as we have. So in other words, our world, their world, and the amoeba's world, everything is different. All the worlds are different. So which is the real one? Which is the real world? So this whole concept of the world, to see through the senses and think this is real, is considered to be ajnanam, avidya in the Shastram. Anyone who experiences the world through the senses and accepting this is the real thing is considered to be avidya. It is considered to be ajnanam in there. So world will change according to the number of senses what you have and what kind of senses have you got. So the perception changes. But then what is the world then? The world according to the Shastram is the vasanas what is inside us. That vasana, when it comes from the projection of the soul through that vasanas and through the indriyam or the senses or the lenses through which it comes out, and you experience this world in a particular way, and that is the world. That's the real world. What, that is why the world is different for each one of us. Each one of us, the world is different. Because from the soul, we all have different vasanas inside us. Through that vasanas, the power of the soul comes through, and through the lenses called the senses, it comes out and it experiences the world, and therefore they are different. Therefore they are different. In the Shastram, they use the word Vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means it projects outside. It comes out like that. So when all the vasanas dries up, suppose all the vasanas have gone, then what happens? The soul comes through the soul comes through the senses directly to the world. There's only light everywhere. There's only light everywhere. Light in the sense that everything is spiritual, because there is no raga dvesham anymore, there is no kartratva bhoktratva anymore.
in there. Because vasanas have gone away from inside. That is the effect of that. That is why in Shastram they say, while in getting rid of these vasanas from inside as the most important thing, what we have got inside, each one of us has got a big package there. And through that it comes out in different ways. And that is where the... So, one who has completely wiped out all the vasanas from inside, and for him, the world is nothing but through the senses he sees what is called as Chidagasham. It is called Chidagasham. Chidagasham means the Chitshakti's manifestations in the form of a sky. That's what it is. In other words, you may still see them as objects, but you won't be able to develop any kind of attachment or aversion towards anything because the vasanas have gone away. Now, how is it? As soon as we see someone, inside vasana comes out. We have either love for him or hate for him. We don't like him or we love him. So this way it comes out. And this is impossible to take it out because of the vasanas inside. Now, so actually what we see in everyone is our own vasanas inside. And this understanding that this influence of this vasana, those who are practicing sadhana, spiritual life, seriously, they will come to know about it little by little. They'll come to know this impact if they are sensitive to it. Simply doing sadhana on a mechanical process won't help. But if you are doing the sadhana properly in spiritual life, in course of time, you will get an intimation of this connection with the world outside and inside you. You will get to know that through the sadhana. Sadhana process will give you an intimation of that. So, from this you can understand one thing. Suppose you are living in a family life. You are living in a family life and you have so many people related to you. Either husband, wife, children, parents and so many other relationships, whatever you have in the family. So, normally what will happen is, some people are favorable to you in the family, some people are not favorable to you, against you. So, it is always a situation like that. And not that everybody is favorable all the time. You may have one opinion, somebody else will have another opinion about it. So, why this thing happens? Why does it happen like that? This is where this understanding comes. That is, Krishna is saying here that for everyone whom you come to know in this world, come into contact with this world. This is an important principle in a spiritual life. For everyone you come into contact with in this world, correspondingly, there is an element of that inside you. Doesn't matter who it is. Anyone, whomever you have come into contact with this world, whether they are in your family or outside the family, corresponding to that, there is an element inside you. Because what has happened is that it has to be there. Otherwise, they won't be there with you. It's a very interesting concept, isn't it, to understand that. That if whomever you come into contact with this world, or with whomever with whom you have to have a relationship, or some transactions has to happen with them together, correspondingly, an element of that person is inside you. So, that element will be either form of a vasana inside, or some experience from the past, or a reflection of something which has happened inside. It's a reflection of something that has happened inside. In other words, from inside, some of your sankalpam has come in that form outside. This is the power of that sankalpam. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into, there is a verse there, Yasya sarve samarambam kama sankalpa varjita jnana agni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. Krishna is saying, I think it is in the fourth chapter or something. Yasya sarve samarambam kama sankalpa varjita. It is
419? Yeah. Yeah. I know if you read the translation, it won't get you very far. It's just the way it is, the verses. But you can see from the commentaries on that, yasya sarve sama arambham kama sangalpa varjita. That sangalpam inside, what you have, in the form of some desire, has developed into a relationship in due course. That's how we come to contact with people in this world. That some sangalpam inside was there, that has to come out. And that is, when you come to contact with a person, you won't know why I get to know this person. You may never know. Sometimes you feed from people from completely different places, you get to know them. What has brought them together? This is that. That some vasana inside, some sangalpam inside, vasana or sangalpam inside, was there in us, in each one of us, and that has brought that person because closer to you. This is how that connection has been established, due to that vasana or sangalpam inside. When there is no vasana or sangalpam inside, you won't have anyone in connection with you. The whole world will be the same at that time. Today we don't feel it, isn't it? Everybody says, this is my family, or this is my society, or this is my community. In this way people start thinking. Why is that? Because we have got this problem inside, so many vasanas or sangalpam inside, and this is the main reason why we get birth in a particular place, in a particular situation also, due to the same sangalpam inside. Yasya sarve samarambham kama sangalpa vajita. Krishna is saying, when that kamam and sangalpam has completely gone away, how will it go? Jnana agni, in the power of knowledge. In the power of knowledge, it will burn, Krishna says. In the power of, when the knowledge develops inside, when realization happens, this sangalpam will all burn inside. In other words, there won't be any more sangalpam inside. Krishna is very particular about this word sangalpam. You will see there in many places in the Bhagavad Gita. That once that sangalpam goes away from inside, vasanas won't can stay anymore, cannot stay anymore. Sangalpam creates all these vasanas. You think about it first, that's where sangalpam begins, isn't it? So somewhere, sometime in some life, we may have thought about something, and correspondingly, Krishna has brought a person in front of you according to that sangalpam. And that's how that relationship has come. This is the origin of the relationship. After that, we start thinking, oh, why did I get to know this person? Or, oh, I wish I had known you before. All these kind of things, we come to talk about it, isn't it? There must be some correspondingly, some sangalpam inside a person. Otherwise, you would not have come into contact with another person. This is the principle behind it. So, you will see, Krishna mentions here, yasya sarve samarambham kama sangalpa varjita. So, getting rid of sangalpam is important. And how will it happen? Jnana agni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. The power of that fire of knowledge, when it burns, there won't be any sangalpam inside. So, burning that fire is important. Jnana agni. Agni means the fire. Jnana agni means the fire of knowledge. When it burns, Krishna says, that sangalpam will all burn in that. That's one instance. Krishna is saying later in the 6th chapter of your book, there's a verse here, sangalpa prabhavan kaman, Krishna says. I think it is the 6th chapter in the... Yeah, 24. Sangalpa prabhavan kaman tektva sarvan asheshata manasaivendriya gramam viniyamya samanthada. 24th verse. Sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasaha sangalpa prabhavan kaman tektva sarvan asheshata. That sangalpa prabhavam, that is what it is, prabhavam of sangalpam. Sangalpa prabhavan, from sangalpam came all desires, From the Sankalpam came all the desires. So the power of Sankalpam, Krishna is saying, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman Tektva Sarvan Asheshada. If one has managed to free himself from all Sankalpam inside, Asheshada, Manasevindriya Gramam Vinyamyasa Shamanda. So again, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with undeviating determination and faith. One should abandon without exceptions all material desires. Now, Prabhupada is translated here as material desires, Sankalpam. Material desires is precisely very difficult to translate that word, Sankalpam, because you can see the word, same word, Sankalpam, in the earlier verse, Krishna Prabhupada translated that as determination. The same word in the 4th chapter is determination. In the 6th chapter, it is mentioned as material desire. Yes, so you can see here. It is what's mentioned there?
Mental speculation.
Here in this Bhagavad Gita, material desires in the earlier. So they themselves have difficulty. I can see the problem that the people who have edited, they also got problem, because the word Sankalpam is a very subtle word. It's not just easy to translate that word. There is a problem there to translate that word. But if you get that, the message properly, what does Sankalpam means, then you can probably get it. The Sankalpam, basically what it means is, something, some thought wave has come inside, Chittavritti, and some attack connection happened between you and your mind and that thought wave. If that has happened, many thoughts are coming through. All the thoughts are not creating Sankalpam inside. Some thought waves with whom you made a connection, that's a Sankalpam. Once you have made the connection, it's becoming a Sankalpam. From that, Sankalpam develops everything later. That is what it means. So you know what I'm saying now. That Sankalpam is that. That some thought waves which has come through you in your mind, mind is nothing but thought waves. Lot of thoughts are coming every day. But with some thought wave, you have made some connection. The result is that it's a Sankalpam. It has turned into a Sankalpam. And that Sankalpam, Krishna is saying here, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman. And that when Sankalpam becomes very strong inside a person, it will turn into desires later. And then in form of another person, you will get to know that person, you will get a relationship with him. That's all this worldly relationship means, nothing more than that. We give so much importance to all other things, isn't it? But Krishna is saying, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman Tektva Sarvan Asheshada. When one can completely remove that Sankalpam, one who does not create any more Sankalpam inside, Krishna is saying he is free. He has nothing to worry about anything. No more Sankalpam inside. So, main point why I am saying this was, that when this Sankalpam builds up inside, they will come in some form. They'll come as your husband, they'll come as your wife, they'll come as your children, grandchildren, they'll come as your father, they'll come as your mother. They'll also come as some diseases. That's also from Sankalpam that it has come. And it also comes as happiness or distress in life. And some kind of nature in us. And we will come to know that this Sankalpam inside is experienced outside in the world. Outside in the world. This is the practical side of the Vedic philosophy, the practical aspect of it. So, therefore, from rishis, the sages, they tell us, don't try to change outside. Don't try to change. There's no point in changing outside. Correction is required inside. Correction is required inside. Inside, if you correct, that thing will get sorted in course of time. That will get course in course of time. To tell you about this, that for this reason only, it's a very amazing thing this is, this understanding. This you will only find in the realized souls, this particular realization. Only in the realized souls you will find it, this understanding. Therefore, they will not find any fault in others. They will not find any fault in others. It's a
it's a thing which is very difficult, because unless you have self-realized, this won't happen, first of all. Normally, what do? We find fault with everybody else, isn't it? He's not done this, he has not done this, he's like this, he's like that. Like this, we blame everyone and condemn everybody and then say that because he has done like this, I'm suffering because of that. That is mundane level, we understand it that way. In the spiritually realized soul, they will never see anything in that way. Their way of seeing is that what they are saying is that if a person, because the reason for that is the soul is in everyone the same. Antaryami is present in everyone as the same soul. If it is like that, and in that Antaryami, if something is coming unfavorable to me, and or if something is coming favorable to me, there must be a reason behind it. They can think in the extreme subtle level and see this subtle connection between others, between them and the others. Once it so happened in Kanjipuram, in the Chandrasekhar Saraswati, who was the 68th Acharya there, he left his body in 1985 or something like that. When he was about 80-85 years old, he was a tapasvi. Tapasvi means he has performed extreme austerities and penances and was known and respected by all sorts of people. Even among the other communities also, they loved his nature and that realization inside. So once it so happened that in the mutt itself, there's always problem, isn't it? Inside the and you go like everywhere else. So one person complained about another person to him very bitterly, saying that that person has done like this and that's why we have got all these problems, this, that and the other. There was some argument happened between two people. So he listened to all that for a long time when they were saying all these things. He listened to that and he said to him that don't blame anybody. Blame me, he said. That's what he said. Blame me, he said. To say that, you need that strength inside to realization. What he was saying was, I don't have enough tapas in me. That is why this is happening, he said. Just imagine that. He was saying that, I don't have enough tapas in me. Tapas means that I have not performed enough austerities and penances. Therefore, these problems are happening. Because he is seeing that the same soul who is present in everyone, if one something is not happening properly, some problems are happening, it's because of me, he says, that I don't have the tapas, therefore all these problems are open. Because he says, you are all my part actually, not on a bodily level, on a spiritual level, all of us are connected in this world. All living entities are connected on the spiritual platform. And if I perform my penances and austerities, if my spiritual life is going well, and then everything will be in the correct state. That's what he was saying. Maybe that I am missing something in my spiritual life, therefore this problem is coming. This was his comments on that. And because I don't have the tapas in me, you are like this, he said. You are having these problems. This is, he took the whole blame onto himself and he said this to them. Because the reason is, they are seeing things from that level. That's a very high level of understanding. They are seeing things from that level. They are seeing, because normally we see from the bodily level, isn't it? Everything we see from the bodily level. But realized souls cannot think like that. They can't even think in the bodily platform anymore. What they will say is that if there is a problem between people, it's because that there is some correction required inside me. Inside me, that's why. Because everything else they say is my world, which is a vijrambhanam, which is a reflection of me outside in them. They were able to look at that way. So, he said that because that person is coming in a opposite way, there must be something inside me, he says. Something inside me, when someone is coming totally opposite to you, whatever you may thought about, an opposite way it is coming from the other person. So he was saying it in a different way. Normally, not most of the people won't say it like that, isn't it? This is spiritual life. Spiritual life is like that. Nowadays, what do we do? If a person is not right, ban him, throw him out. This is the lowest way of living spiritual life. This is not spiritual life. This sickens actually, when you see that. That when people do such things, because spiritual personality means he is able to accommodate everything within that. Otherwise, where is the spirituality there? That all these great personalities, in one instance, the same person, when he found that there were some problem, because when you have these temples, ashrams, mutts and all that, there will always be some problem. Everybody is not in a spiritual state, is it not? So there continuously there will be problems. When some problem happens, then when the whole issue brings up to the top person, if that person also deals with them in the same way like a mundane level, then where is the difference between a spiritual personality and a materialistic person? So generally what happened was, in some instances when some issues came up, he just walked out from the mud. He said, you can do whatever you like, when it became so difficult to continue with the situations. Many instances. It's like this. Every realized soul, if you read through their life, you will see this one quality. They couldn't find fault in anyone. If there was some problem, it was only some correction is required inside me. That's how they took it. So, if it is corrected here, then it will become corrected outside. So, it may come up that way, but or it won't have any effect on you. So, Krishna is saying, this creation, whatever srishti, what you find, everything what is seeing outside in the world, andha sushma swabhav swarubena karanaatmaka grihe sthidaha padartha sthula bhavena nirgachandi bhave swayam. Upanishads are saying like this. What it says is, andha sushma swarubena karanaatmakam. That means, this gross things what you are experiencing this world, this will not be there unless there is something in a very subtle level inside you. Where? In karana shariram. We have three bodies, you know. We have three bodies. Stulam, sushmam, karanam. Stula shariram is the gross body. Sushma shariram is the subtle body. And karana shariram is the causal body. Those three bodies exist in us. It is true. And one is more finer than the other. Sushma shariram is finer than the gross body. Finer than the sushma shariram is the karana shariram. Karana shariram is sushma. So, this inside us, in extremely subtle level, there is a thing called this karana shariram or the causal body. Causal body is inside. Stulam or the gross body is this one, and the mind is the sushma shariram. Mind is the sushma shariram. So, and this you will know, when will you know this karana shariram? In the dream state. In the dream state you will come to know about it. How do you know? That is, behind this sushma shariram, this karana shariram is working. Karana shariram is always working. All our hidden vasanas is not in the sushma shariram. It is in the karana shariram. The hidden ones. All the hidden vasanas are in the karana shariram. All our experiences, everything is in the karana shariram. And it germinates now and then. It comes out and germinates. So, in due course of time, new experiences happens to us in life here, isn't it? Every one, if you look back into your own life, you can see you had a series of experiences in life in different ways. It has come and gone, isn't it? So similarly, new people you come into contact with, also. New faces you come into contact with. So at that time, whatever, when you come into contact with new people, if you observe, you will see from your karana shariram, you know, there is one thing they use for fireworks. When they light it, suddenly from the whole thing comes out from there. I don't know what you call that in English, but some kind of a what? The children, they light it for the wick like thing that comes out. They light it, and from inside comes out all sorts of lights in different colors from that. You know what I'm saying. So that thing, anyway. Similarly, when we come into contact with people also, these sushma vasanas, which are in the karana shariram, tends to come out quickly. Because only when we have, in the external world, in the normal life, they are hidden. But due to some relationships with some people, these hidden vasanas will come out from inside. They are coming from the karana shariram, not from the sushma shariram. From the causal body they come. So, and yogis, they understand that in a very subtle level. They can understand. That is a yoga. Yoga process, jnanam, ashtanga yogam also have that capacity to know the sushma vasanas. So, when we do not know that, what do we say? We say that he did like this, that man did like that to me, and he did this and he did that and all that. Because of him, I'm suffering. And like this, we say about it, isn't it? Sometimes we say, because the government is like that, that's why I'm suffering. We blame the government sometimes, or we will blame the police, or we'll blame somebody else for something else. So, and we will try to continuously correct the situation outside. And it will never become corrected. Ubhana guda badasya nanu charmavrudai, Yoga Vasishtham says. In other words, he says there, so one person wants to walk in a forest. And when he looked in the forest, it's full of thorns everywhere. Very difficult to walk anywhere. So, the only solution he found, that he should put some shoes on and walk, so that the thorns won't give him any trouble. Otherwise, it is not possible, and then you can walk everywhere, wherever you like, if you have proper shoes in your feet, isn't it? You can't clear up the whole forest to walk, because it's full of thorns. So the answer is, you should put the shoes on. Similarly, when a person realizes that creation actually is happening inside, not outside. Srishti happens inside. Krishna is saying in that verse, that if you look into that verse, you will see that maya adhyakshena prakriti suyadesa characharam hetu naneva kaunteya jagad viparivartate. See that verse? Again, if you look into it, you will notice Krishna says maya adhyakshena prakriti. Where is that creation happening? Creation is happening inside us. The real creation is happening inside us, not the outside. Outside prakriti, that is going on its own way. The real creation is happening inside us. According to our vasanas inside, our sankalpam inside, the creation is going on inside. And whenever you are coming into contact with prakriti, immediately the world is created inside, according to the vasana and the sankalpam inside. That's why Krishna is saying that maya adhyakshena prakriti, andaryami inside is the adhyaksha, who is watching this creation, what is happening inside us. Suyadesa characharam, all living entities are under that control, Krishna says. The body is so subtle inside that we cannot completely ignore this subtle side of us and think that this gross world is everything. That's impossible. It makes no sense at all. The world outside is stable. It is its own way. It goes on in this creation. The impact of the world in us is more important. And that depends on our sankalpam vasana inside. That's the most important. And that is the creation. That world we create inside through our vasanas and sankalpams. And when we come into contact with any object or a person in this world, immediately those vasanas and sankalpam from the karana shariram, causal body, they come out and they create a situation inside. That is what Krishna is saying there. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyatesa characharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagad viparivartate. That is how that works. We'll come to understand it better when you look into Krishna's dealings with the world. Then you will understand it better how this happened. So here, one who knows this, that Srishti is happening within me. It is inside me, everything is happening. And he realizes that it is me who has to correct myself and change myself. I'm not going to worry about others. they are not responsible for this. I am lacking something, some sankalpam inside me is causing this problem. Is causing this problem in the relationship with the others. So, one who knows this secret very well, Krishna is saying, he can change the thing, recreate the whole thing. In other words, whatever creation is happening, he can recreate it. In other words, this body is a sthulam, is gross, isn't it? So, from some sankalpam inside only, that we have got this male or female body. It's also from the sankalpam inside. Otherwise, why somebody has taken a birth as a male and somebody as a female? How will you... What is the answer? Medicine has no answer to that. They will tell you whether he is male or female, but they can't tell you why male or female, isn't it? So this is where it is coming from, that power of sankalpam. So, sthula shariram, this gross body itself, due to some sankalpam inside, it has got a form first as a cell. If you look back into the birth of the body, you will know in the third canto it talks about that, isn't it? How from a single cell that in due course of time it developed and it has turned into female form or into a male form or into a male form, and it has become and it is sitting like this now as we are now, isn't it? That is the strength of sankalpam. It is the source is that sankalpam, what was inside that person, from which was in the karana shariram, that sankalpam is the cause of this particular form of the body what one has got. So from sankalpam body was born, the body was born from that sankalpam. So through that through that sankalpam only these changes have happened in the body, the changes also, just like when we are changing, body is changing, isn't it? Body is continuously changing. It goes through the various phases in life, boyhood, youthhood, middle age, old age, and then disease, and then death, finally, isn't it? So, once you are able to change that sankalpam inside, accordingly, it is possible to change the external thing also. Of course, this is only in the case of a realized personalities, they are able to see this. So, what their point is, what they are trying to tell us is that if there is no sankalpam inside at any point in time, if all sankalpam goes away, you have reached the state of Brahman. Brahman state has come, which is what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as the Brahma Buddha stage, when there is no sankalpam inside. And because there is no sankalpam inside, that is why in that verse, if you look, you will see na shochati na kankshati. What does that mean? No sankalpam. Na shochati na kankshati, which means no sankalpam inside. Then he is in that Brahman realized state. So Krishna says, sarva sankalpa sannyasi. Another place he says, a sannyasi is a person who has no sankalpam. Who has no sankalpam inside. Yoga ruda tathochyade. So, when you have lost all other sankalpam inside, that sankalpam, one who have completely, who has lost all sankalpam inside, and when he is situated in the self, in the realized state, such a person, when karmam happens through that person, it won't have any impact on him. That is what Krishna is saying here. In the previous words, you will notice, this is Krishna's personality. Nachamam tani karmani nibadhnandi dhananjaya udasinava dasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. This is how you have to understand Krishna in this way. Krishna, whatever he does, he is not having any impact on him. No sankalpam inside. Krishna has no sankalpam inside. Therefore, whatever we can't even imagine that with a person without a sankalpam, isn't it? Because we are full of sankalpam. That's all what we know. But because Krishna has no sankalpam, that is what mentions here, that najamam tani karmani nibadhnandhi. Because otherwise it breaks the law. According to the law of karma, if you perform a karma, it should create a karma vasana inside. It should. That is the law of karma, Krishna says in the third chapter. Every karma has to create a karma vasana. And it has to create, karma vasana means that you, it has to, one day or the other, it will manifest in the form of a pravritti, a karma. It has to come out and then it has to bind you later with that. All these things, which is according to the, Krishna says there, isn't it? In the second chapter he says that while talking about karma, the Chatur Sutram, the four sutram he says there, isn't it? That the karma, when you execute a karma, what happens with the karma? Karma creates what is known as a vasana inside. Some karma, it sows a seed inside. And that karma vasana eventually has to it has to materialize in the form of some action. Suppose I created some karma vasana inside. There is no other way except that through karma it has to get exhausted. But while if you engage in karma through attachment and aversion, that will create more vasanas inside. Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam and Ragam, Dvesham creates more vasanas inside and will develop more. This way the cycle of karma continue to exist. Isn't it? What is that? Yeah. So meditation, from there it begins like that. So if you look there, you will see in the second chapter Krishna mentions this, how this cycle works, how the karma continuously binds us, isn't it? Karmanye va adhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma balahedubur made sangostva karmani, Krishna says. So the four rules in relationship with the karma, we have discussed that in the second chapter. That karmam, karmabhalam, hedu, sangostva karmani. Karmanyandam is not possible, he says. Because he told Arjuna also the same thing. Arjuna, you come here with all these vasanas inside, kshatriya vasana inside. And you are telling me you are not going to fight the war, he said. Even if you tell me you can't fight the war, the man inside, he is going to make you fight. Arjuna, Krishna has to say that to him. That Krishna had no doubt about that. One day Arjuna will take the weapon and fight because it's there in him. What can you do about it? So that is how powerful these vasanas are. So Krishna's point is that here also he says here, this particular thing you will see in great personalities. All the great sages were like that. No sangalpam inside. They've escaped from all of that. We'll come to that. One or two examples, you'll understand what this is all about. So, whatever they do with the mind, whatever they do with the body, and all of those things, it won't have any effect on them. It will have no effect on them. Krishna is situated in that platform and he is speaking from that state now. These things, what he is saying. Achamam dhani karmani nibadhrandi dhananjaya udasina vadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. It's not that Krishna is sitting, oh, I have nothing to do with it, and sitting quiet separately from that. That's not how it is happening. It's happening in a way that, see the law of karma, how the law of karma has no impact on Krishna due to this reason, what we have spoken here. So, therefore, with full confidence, Krishna is saying, no karma has any impact on me. Asaktam teshu karmasu. I am not connected by any karma. It's no impact on me from any karma. Can any one of us say that karma has no impact on me? It's not possible, isn't it? Once it so happened, the gopis went to see Krishna. You may have heard this story before. All gopis went to see Krishna. And the Yamuna river was very flooded. It was not like today, it was flooded heavily. So, on the one side is Krishna. On one bank of the river, Krishna was there. Other side of the river, Durvasava Maharshi was there. Durvasava Maharshi was on the other side of the river. So, Durvasav, if you heard about Durvasav habits, he says, Nitya Upavasi. That means, doesn't eat anything. This is Durvasav. Durvasav doesn't eat anything. What he eats is, when 4 or 5 days, there is a plant called Durva. that Durvas leaves, he squeezes them out and takes few drops from that and he takes that. Durva rasam, it is called. The juice of this Durva plant, it leaves, he squeezes them out and takes a few drop of it. That is how this name came, Durvasav. Durvasav. And Nitya Upavasi he is. That means every day is Ekadashi. Not like our Ekadashi, but proper Ekadashi for him. No eating any day. Never eats anything. Durvasav Maharshi is like that. Is Shiva's another expansion, isn't it? Lord Shiva's another expansion is Durvasav. So, normally he doesn't eat anything. So, gopis came up to Durvasav Maharshi and told him, we want to go and see Krishna. Krishna is on the other side of the river. And the river was fully flooded, says to him. So, how can we go? We can't go because the river is flooded. So, Durvasa says to him, says to the gopis, we are feeling very hungry. I'm feeling very hungry, he says. Give me good food to eat, he says. Quite unusual thing for Durvasa to say that. So, Durvasa says to the gopis, give me plenty of food and very nicely prepared food for me to eat. And after eating, gopis did all that to please Durvasa because they know Durvasa very well. The nature of Durvasa, they didn't want to, whatever he says, they are willing to listen. Otherwise, if they say something, probably they'll turn into ashes. The whole bodies will be burned into ashes. That's anger also. Very angry person. So, gopis prepared nice prasadam and fed Durvasa very well. He ate all that. All the food what was brought in, he ate all that. And then Durvasa says to the gopis, you go to the Yamuna river bank and stand there and say to Yamuna like this, we have been sent here by Durvasa Maharshi, who is fasting all the time, who is always on the Nitya Upavasi, always in Upavasam stage, and we have sent him, so give us the way, said. So Gopi and the river, the Yamuna river will give you the way. She will stop the flow and will let you through the river. So they did the same thing. They went to the river and spoke to the Yamuna river. Yamuna river stopped the flow for a few minutes for the gopis to walk through the river. And after that the river came back into its normal state. Now, how would you understand this? He is saying, this is the same what Krishna is saying here. Anything what they do will not have any effect inside. Najamam, because eating is also a karma. Najamam thani karmani nibadhanandi is not binding them. They can do any karmam through that body, but it will have no effect on the what inside. Udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. That asakti, there is no attachment in any karmam. He has taken all the food what was given. He was not eating that food like the way we will eat a feast. We will look at the plate and see what's all there, nice things. No, Durvasav doesn't need anything like that. Just to satisfy the gopis and to make the gopis realize this, that Durvasav is Durvasav. He is not. He is exactly the same state what Krishna is. That's what he is showing to them. That although I have eaten everything, it has no impact on me. I have eaten such a big feast, but it has no impact on me. So separated from the body, Durvasav is. So completely separated from the body. When he went to, remember this story in the Bhagavatam, through Durvasav only we got so much in the Bhagavatam, because of Durvasav. Durvasav goes to heavenly planets. At that time, Apsaras women, they were making garlands there in one of the famous gardens. They were sitting and making garlands. When they saw Durvasav Muni coming through the way, they got frightened. What is he going to say now? So what they did, instead of upsetting him, whatever garlands they have made, they were all not the garlands what we make here. They were from the heavenly planets. Those garlands they went and gave it to Durvasav Maharshi and paid their obeisances and stood back. So Durvasav Maharshi didn't say anything, took the garland and walked away from there. After going for a little distance, they saw Indra was sitting on the Airavatam and practicing his using the weapons, how to use the weapons. He was practicing his how to fight the war. So he was practicing that. When Airavatam, big elephant, and Indra is sitting on the top. So when Durvasav saw that, he threw the garland to Indra to have it. Somehow or the other, Indra put that garland on the forehead of the elephant. So because of the smell of the flowers which were there, some bees came. And when they came and they started disturbing the elephant. So what the elephant did, elephant pulled that garland from the top with its trunk, put it on the floor, and with the foot, elephant foot, it rubbed a few times, got angry with it and did it. And Durvasav didn't like it. So he said, everybody in this heavenly planet, let them have Jara and Nara, old age and disease, everything. And all the whole heavenly planets have become like a old age home. That's what happened. So this is Durvasava Maharshi. If you upset him, you won't survive after that. He's so anger, so much anger in him. Same thing, it is he who caused all the problem with the Yadavas, isn't it, at the end. Finally, when Krishna decided to wind up his own people, he wanted to finish them all here before leaving this place. All the Yadavas, he wanted to kill them all. So he decided, he prompted from within that to Samba to dress up like a woman and so that he is pregnant, and all Krishna's children, grandchildren together got together, and they were standing in the forest when suddenly these sages came on the way. And who was leading them? This Durvasav. So they asked Durvasav Maharshi that we have one question. One of our friends is standing at the back. She is very shy to come forward and ask you this question. She is pregnant, but she wants to know whether the boy or whether she will have a boy or a girl as a child. That was enough for Durvasav. Durvasav reply, you can read in the Bhagavatam what he said. He said, it will neither be a boy or a girl. It will be a big, what do they call? Metallic piece, a big piece is going to come out from that, he said. And they didn't know that this will happen, but when they went back and they started taking out the sari, a metal piece fell from inside. So this is how Durvasav is. Yasya sarve samarambham kama sangalpa varjidaham. So here what happened was, they crossed the river, they went to Krishna, to see Krishna. After seeing Krishna, gopis have spent some time with Krishna, and they say that we have to go back now. We have to go back. How shall we go? They said to Krishna. They were asking Krishna, how can we go back? The river is flooded. He said, Krishna says, go back to the river and say to Yamuna river like this, we have been sent by Krishna here, who is a permanent brahmachari. He says, Krishna is nitya brahmachari. Durvasav is Nitya Upavasi and Krishna is Nitya Brahmachari, he says here. So, and if we have been sent by him, and if Krishna is a Nitya Brahmachari, give us the way. That's how he put it. Just like Durvasav said, if Durvasav is a Nitya Upavasi, give us the way. So when the gopi says, Yamuna river obliged. In the same way, when they were coming back, when Krishna sent this message through them, they came to the river bank and said to Yamuna river, if Krishna is a Nitya Brahmachari, give us the way. Yamuna river immediately allowed them to walk through. So here you can see that gopis were surprised by this. Because what was happening and their words were not matching with their actions. Isn't it? Gopis could never believe that Krishna was a Nitya Brahmachari. That was very difficult for gopis to accept that. And similarly, to accept Durvasav Maharshi as a Nitya Upavasi is more difficult for him, having asked them to give them a feast for him. So gopis asked about this to Krishna later. What is the secret behind this? We are not able to connect these two things. Now you say that you are a brahmachari
And we haven't seen that brahmachari life in you any time. Krishna says to them that in the body and the mind, we keeping the body and the mind, we give importance, this is truth and lie. Something as truth and lie, and we take things on that basis. Krishna says, actually there is only one truth in this whole creation. That is the soul. This is Krishna's answer to the gopis. That they have moved away from our way of seeing things. Realization means that this we have to study the great personalities. Only we will understand then that they are not seeing the world like the way we are seeing the world. We are seeing the world, for us something is the truth, something is a lie. Is it not? Always you will see in this world people fighting over the truth. What is the truth? They'll say when something goes wrong, they'll say we should investigate and find out the truth behind it. Till we get to know the truth, we'll continue the investigation. When an accident happens or plane crashes or some problem happens somewhere, there will be immediately investigation starts to find out the truth. Krishna's point is, there is no truth in this world. There's only one truth, that is Atma. If you are in the platform of the soul, if you are in full realization of the soul, everything what you do is truth. There is no false in that. So, one who has woken up to that truth, for him, there is no connection with Prakriti anymore. There is no connection with Prakriti, material nature. Therefore, whatever actions that's happening through him has not bind him in any way. Bind him in any way. This point is important because otherwise these verses won't make any sense. If Bhagavad Gita's these verses, if it has to make sense, you have to see this reality behind that. From what state are they speaking this? Krishna is speaking this. This you will see in almost all the great personalities' life. So sometimes, due to our association, they have no connection with the Prakriti. Prakriti, material nature and them have no connections. This is important. For example, we feel hunger, thirst. Actually, who feels the hunger? Body feels the hunger. And where is the body? Body, who sees the body? Material nature. Prakriti owns this body. I don't feel actually the hunger. Soul has no hunger. Soul has no thirst. Soul has no hankering, lamentation. Nothing. Everything is happening inside the body. Because I have identification with the body, this hunger and thirst disturbs me. If I have no identification with the body, hunger and thirst should not disturb me. This is the simple principle. Krishna's case and Durvasa's case, that is the reality. But to show to us that even whatever they do, Mahatmas, great personalities, don't look at Krishna as supreme personality of God and start thinking everyone is a magic going on there. No, it is a spiritual principle behind it is more important. The spiritual principle is this, whether it is Krishna, whether it is Durvasa, whether it is Narada Maharshi, whether it is Vedavyas, whether it is Shukambrahma Rishi, the rule is the same. It doesn't change. They will all reach the same realizations at the end. That's why when you look into their life, when they make some statement, it is identical with what Krishna has spoken. Because in realized state, they are all experiencing the same thing. That's more important. This is how we understand spiritual life. Otherwise, simply anything, any wonder happens, oh, Krishna can do all that because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and we leave it at that. And nothing changes. We don't understand anything. Everything Krishna is doing, Krishna is doing. But why is Krishna doing that? Krishna is doing all these things to show to us that in a spiritual platform, what changes will happen from our materially conditioned life. In conditioning life, we think so many things about this body. Because our attachment with the body, identification with the body, we try to see the faults in the world, we try to correct the world. Krishna says, in a realized state, nobody tries to change the world. Because they know world doesn't require any correction. Correction is required inside us. If that is the right way to correct things, not to correct the world. Correct the world is useless. It's not. You correct it now, tomorrow it will be like the dog's tail. You take the pipe out, the tail will go back its old shape.
it was not going to change at all. So highly realized platform, they do not do that. They see, they live a life in such a way, people will observe this, that from them they will understand that correction is required inside. So sometimes you can see that sometimes they are in contact with the material nature, but even if they don't take food, even if there are some people, there are some yogis in the Himalayas and all, there are many, many personalities like that. There are examples in the history. They don't eat food. They don't take any food. But they have everything what they need. They get from the nature. Not by eating. Not by eating alone. Because some people, sometimes, they don't even take water. There is that story of Udaya Baba. You can look at the net, you will see him. He never used to eat any food. And people used to bring food and leave it outside the cave where he stayed. And he used to live alone inside the cave on his own. And whatever food that was left out, it will lie there. Other animals and birds used to come and eat that and go away. He never used to take it inside to the cave, or he never ate it. So there are many cases, many, many yogis who have got to know this subtle principle inside, that if you separate from the prakriti, and this is a particular stage in the spiritual development, at some point in time your desires and the needs for the body also goes away, and you will feel a separation from the nature. For some reason they have not felt the need to consume the food. So that is also another sankalpam inside. And we call that as sankalpa dardhyam. Dardhyam means dridadha. Dridadha means the firm conviction inside, I don't need food to live. I don't need the food to live. Because in their own realizations, they have gone away from the body. The need for the food has gone away from inside. That sankalpam inside has grown very strong. Therefore, they don't feel the need for food. Or alternatively, sometimes what they need, they get it from the air, from the rain and things like that. They can get what they want from the rain. So, because once that dridadha or dardhyam or firmness happens inside, they know that they have to live in this world till the prarabdham is over. Prarabdham is finished for the body to drop off one day. So, what will they do at that time? So, according to them, in every single cell inside the body, there is an impact on all the other cells as well. What's happening inside one cell? For example, in the air, everything is there. The food is also there in the air. And the body knows how much food it needs, and it will take that much from the air. You see, in our understanding, food is, what is food? Food is grown from the grains, vegetables and milk and everything. And we have one way of understanding the food. And we think that it has to go inside and go through the system properly. And then we extract that energy from the food, isn't it? From the food. Now, look at it this way. Cow gets its energy from the grass. And the same grass, if you eat it, you won't get any energy, would you? So why is it like that? So you can understand from this, cow taking the grass and gives you something which is so nutritious that you can survive on that. But the same grass, if you take, you won't get anything out of it. Probably you may get sick, that's all what will happen. So this arrangement in the nature, which we cannot completely understand it, isn't it? So yogis know this subtlety of this. They see things that a elephant or a tiger, the type of food what it needs, or the birds, the type of food that needs, different animals, species, what they need, aquatics, how they get their food. So they have studied all these different bodies and their needs. Similarly, the human body also, they have studied in such depth. They have understood that it is possible what we need, we can get from the air. This is why when you look into Dhruva Maharaj's austerities, and even Hiranyakashipu's austerities, you see there, they were able to live for months together on air, isn't it? If you say, if somebody says to you that, why don't you live on the Vayu Bhakshanam? In the Bhagavadam, it uses the word Vayu Bhakshakaha. It says, Vayu was their Bhakshanam. Vayu. Simply living on the air. So for us, it is now very difficult to know all that because we need our 3 meals a day, prasadam. Otherwise, once in a while. So that the body, those who have got that control on that power inside, sangalpam has gone so strong inside. This is also due to sangalpam, that they know that this body has to survive that long, and accordingly they will take what they need from the air. They have that capacity to do that. And they will extract whatever food that's necessary from the air. That is another unusual siddhi, that is due to their development of the siddhis inside. So they themselves do not know that, because if you ask them for an explanation to that, it's very difficult to explain that, but due to the power of the sangalpam inside, it happens to them. Many of these yogis, if you look, they are very determined people. That's why they are able to do these things, isn't it? Very strong determination they have inside. That's why they are so severe austerities and penances, they are able to do that. And that it comes in their life also. So Krishna is saying here that if you are like that, in that state, that you have able to move away from the body to that degree, that some people, as you see, that for whole lifetime they don't eat. 50-60 years people have not eaten. Recently there was a report about some yogi in Uttar Pradesh somewhere who has not eaten food for 50-60 years. He lives on the top of one, they have constructed one bamboo cottage like thing. He lives on the top. People go and you can't go close to him. He lives on the top there. No food and not going to toilet either. Just surviving that body in that way. So that's why that. So so here, yogam, different yoga processes brings a person to different states like this. But when the body and the mind, when you realize it inside that I am not this body and I am not this mind, these changes will happen in our sangalpam. Only when we realize it. That means it is important to cultivate this understanding that I am not this body. It's no good knowing this on a intellectual level or on a mental level. But when it becomes as a experience inside, anubhavam or anubhuti inside, that I am not this body, I am not this mind, if that sangalpam becomes very strong, dhradatha or dhardhyam, when that happens, these things will follow. This kind of things will happen in a person. And a person who has not only moved away from the body and the mind, he started his realization as the soul becomes strengthened inside. And when he is in that state, that means Brahman realization has happened to him. And in that awareness, he is living in this world. In that awareness, which is that awareness? Brahma-Buddha state. That means body is mind is not influencing him anymore. This awareness inside, avabodham, as Krishna calls it as avabodham, that means pure consciousness. He has moved onto the platform of the consciousness. That because they are in that state, even if they do anything in this world, they are not doing anything. Because they have moved under the platform of the soul. You have to remember, soul doesn't do anything. So when you have moved away from the body and the mind to the platform of the soul, and if it has become your realization, in other words, that means you have become the self. In other words, pure consciousness. You have become Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. If it has happened to us, then whatever you do after that, if any karmam happens through this body, it will not have any impact on you. It will not have any impact on you. So,
So here something interesting that Krishna is saying to us, Najamam Tani Karmani Nibadhanandi. When Krishna is saying this, please don't read Bhagavad Gita like this and start saying, oh, Krishna must be, nothing touches him. For me, no hope. I'm going to be like this whole life doing and making karma one after the other and suffering. But Krishna, nothing to do. No, that is not how you understand Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us certain spiritual principles behind it. The principle is this. Krishna is saying, if you are moved away from the body and the mind, then at some stage, if your consciousness has become very firmly rooted, if you are very firmly grounded on the platform of the soul, then whatever karma is happening through the body, it will not bind you. It will not bind you. Karma will still come through the body. That is what it is saying. Najamam tani karmani nibadhananti. Udasinava dasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. After saying that, Krishna is saying that maya adhyakshena prakriti. So when Krishna as soul of everyone, when he is in his presence, how prakriti is performing, that is what Krishna is talking about. In Krishna's presence, how prakriti is performing. That is the important point. So, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was in the womb, Krishna protected him, isn't it? From the Brahmastram sent by Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama sent the Brahmastram to kill Parikshit. Parikshit was protected by Krishna. Parikshit protected by Krishna, yes. This story in the Bhagavadam is not there in the Mahabharatam. There is a difference there in the story. In Mahabharatam it is spoken in one way, and in the Bhagavadam it is spoken in the another way. It is spoken in another way. So, there in the Mahabharatam, if you look, you will see there that, in the Bhagavadam you will see that this astram, Brahmastram, which is called Brahmashirsham, when it was fired on Parikshit, Uttaradevi, Parikshit's mother, came and fell down in front of Krishna and said, Pahi Pahi Maha Yogin, Deva Deva Jagalpade, Nanyam Tuadhapayam Pashyel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. There's a verse in the Bhagavadam. You can see there. That Pahimahi Mahayogin, addressing Krishna as Mahayogi. Mahayogi, the Yogeshwara, the power of yoga, that is in Krishna completely. Uttaradevi knew that. So says to Krishna, Deva Deva Jagalpade, O Lord of the Universe, Nanyam Tuadhapayam Pashyel, I don't see any other shelter. Yatra mrityu avem pashir yatra mrityu parasparam. I have nobody else here who has that yogic power what you have. Yudhishthira was there, Arjuna was there, Bhima was there, Nakula was there, Sahadeva was there, and several other personalities were there. And Uttaradevi says to Krishna, you are the Yogeshwara who knows what is the solution. The thing is burning inside me, inside my belly. It's burning, and my child, the baby, Parikshit, he has already been burned, he says. And that is when Krishna enters into the womb of Uttaradevi and protects her, isn't it? So, Mame garbho nipatyadam, she says, my garbham, the baby is finished, he says. So, Uttara ran over and fell down at Krishna's lord's feet. Krishna says, Krishna went inside and gave shown himself to Parikshit, and that Brahmashirsham, that Brahmastram which Ashwatthama has fired, Krishna has pulled it out from inside, destroyed that from inside. This is the story in the Bhagavadam. When you come to Mahabharatam, how it's spoken is that Parikshit was born as a lump of flesh. In the Mahabharatam it is like that. He was born as a lump of flesh. So Uttaradevi didn't know what to do with that flesh, piece of flesh. But Krishna has taken a vow that in front of Ashwatthama that I will protect this race, Pandava's race, and that I'm going to give life to this baby. Krishna took the baby, this piece of flesh in the hand. And at that time,
there was a voice from the sky. There was a voice from the sky. So the voice was like this: one who is eternally a brahmachari, if he looks after this baby, that baby will get life back. This was the voice from the sky, spoke like this. And that's why, and that brahmachari who took control of the baby was Krishna. That brahmachari was Krishna. Now, when you see Krishna's activities, and then you start seeing Krishna as a brahmachari, it is this verse that brings that answer to that, what Krishna has spoken. Because Krishna is a brahmachari. Krishna is a brahmachari. Why is a brahmachari? Because all the brahmachari's consciousness is in Krishna. Even though on a bodily level so many things are happening through Krishna, but Krishna as a brahmachari, even though he has mixed with the gopis, mixed with many other people, 16,000 wives, Krishna is a brahmachari always. Krishna is always a brahmachari. In the Mahabharata war, once it so happened that Karna fired a arrow, Arjuna's head was gone. The head was gone. Arjuna was sitting there in the chariot without the head. The head is gone. So there was a voice from the sky. If a brahmachari comes forward, he can get his head back. And head is gone somewhere. And Krishna had to go and bring the head back and put it back on top of Arjuna. This happened in the Mahabharata war. It's there in the Mahabharata. If you read, you will see there. So many, and interestingly, all this is to show to us, important message in all this is, it's not the head come and go. What it means is, that in a person, especially Krishna, because he is so perfect in the Yogeshwara, isn't it? All yogic process culminates finally in Krishna. He is the creator of all the yoga process. He is the personality who maintains that yoga process. It is from him all the yogic powers comes. So therefore all the yogis approaches Krishna for their perfection. So in Krishna, all these yogic powers is in full. In other words, whatever Krishna does, is on the platform of the soul. Is on the platform of the soul. That's why when he was addressed as brahmachari, he is the perfect brahmachari. Similarly, if you address him as the perfect householder, he is the perfect householder also. Is it not? Narada Maharshi went to find out about Krishna's householder life. You can read that in the Bhagavatam. Isn't it? And he went to many, many houses. 16,108 palaces Krishna has built for the wives. Each wife had his own palace, and each wife had 10 boys and a girl from each marriage. So imagine how big that family was. You can't even take a group photo of the Krishna's family. It's that big to take a photo. Imagine 16,100 times 10 children, add on to that, and then girls also were born, each wife had one. So if you add them all together, it comes to over 100,000, something like that, a huge number. So if you want to take a photo, how will you take the photo of such a family? And then he had grandchildren and then grandchildren also. So such a thing, such a family, that family, Krishna is saying. And so as a householder, Sri Narada Maharshi went to find out, how does he manage all these things? How does Krishna manage? But he noticed that in every house when he went in, Krishna was the ideal householder in every house. One house, Krishna was looking after the children. Another house, Krishna was cooking. In another house, Krishna was looking after the family affairs, other managing the family in various ways. Various things in every house, different things Krishna was doing. Narada Maharshi sees all that and he comes back that I've done a mistake, he says to Krishna. Krishna called him back later. He says, what have you come for? Then he says to Krishna, to Narada Maharshi, Krishna says, I'm not a person who just speaks the dharmam. I actually practice it and show it to others how to do it. So you can see this. In these things also, when Krishna says these things, Krishna has shown to us while he was in this planet how true all these words in the Bhagavad Gita is. Najamam thani karmani nibadhinandi, Krishna is saying, nothing binds me. udasinava dasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita, you should relate with Krishna's life in this world. Then you will see how perfectly and how it is possible that it can happen in a person. That is spiritual perfection. That is spiritual perfection. It's not just words in the Bhagavad Gita. It all means something. It's not just something he has spoken and gone away, leaving it to us to know. No, it means that his life is the message. That life, Krishna's life in this world, is the practical demonstration of what he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. In various things, you will notice these things happening. So, udasinam adasinam. So, here, that Krishna is saying here, that great rishis also, even they were present when this great personalities, they were present there when Parikshit was born. In Mahabharatam it says like that. They didn't have the courage to do anything. But Krishna went and took the baby. Immediately Parikshit got back to life at the same time. So, so here, normally activities what we do here in this world comes from our mind, isn't it? Comes from our Manomandalam, it is called. Manomandalam means from the platform of the mind. From the platform of the mind. Krishna's activities are not from the mind. Are not from the mind. Because if you move further from the mind and the body, knowing very well that I am not this body, I am not this mind, but I am that Purna Vastu. Like what addressed as the Nitya Vastu. Nitya Vastu means that eternal substance, Alma, the soul, Brahman, whichever way you call it, it is one and the same thing, addressed in different names. Once you have moved on to that state, then whatever that happens there, there is no connection with the body. So many things will still happen through the body. Krishna was doing various things here, but it was not affecting Krishna. The consciousness, in other words, Atma, Brahman. What is Krishna? Actually, that is Krishna. Normally, what will happen is, you see, the difficulty is this: because we are in a body, we can only relate with others through body. This is a big handicap with the body. As long as we have a body, we cannot relate with somebody else without a body. This is how deity worship started. And therefore, a form is required. We require a form. And without a form, it will be very difficult to develop a connection with the truth. But Atma, the soul, Brahman, that is on a completely different level. It is not based on a particular form. Krishna is in that state all the time. Therefore, every time any action happens through Krishna, immediately we start giving them a different perception to it, instead understanding that it is the spiritual platform where Krishna is operating, that's where it's coming from. So you can see here Krishna is very openly making this statement: no karma will touch me. That is the first thing Krishna is making. No karma will touch me. So who can say this, that nothing, no karma will touch me? Because he has nothing to do with this. So here, that only when you come to that point that I have no connection with the body, only in that state you can say this, make this statement, that I have no connection with the body. And in other words, Krishna is saying, udasinava dasinam. That is that state. Udasinava dasinam means that udasinam means that what's happening in the body is not having any impact in you. That is udasinata. Udasinava dasinam. To be situated in the platform of the soul means body is doing it, I am not doing it. Things are happening through the body, I have nothing to do with it. Asaktam teshu karmasu. Karma is happening through the body, I am independent of that. This state has happened to them. So in other words, that is that state what is called adhyaksha. Adhyaksha means that. So you can see those two verses now.
నజమాం తాని కర్మాణి నిబద్ధనంది ధనంజయ ఉదాసీనవ దాసీనం అసక్తం తేషు కర్మస్సు. ఓన్లీ ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ది ఉదాసీనం స్టేట్ యు బికమ్ అధ్యక్ష. ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ సేస్ ఇస్ ఇట్ నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్ ఈస్ సేయింగ్ మాయా అధ్యక్షేణ ప్రకృతి. సో హౌ డి కృష్ణ బికేమ్ అధ్యక్ష? బికాస్ ఉదాసీనవ దాసీనం. దట్ ఈస్ ద కనెక్షన్. బికాస్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ఉదాసీనవ దాసీనం, కృష్ణ ఈజ్ అధ్యక్షేణ ప్రకృతి. డి యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ వాట్ కనెక్షన్ ఈస్? దట్ అన్లెస్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ది ఉదాసీనవ దాసీనం స్టేట్ యూ కెనాట్ బి అధ్యక్ష. ఇట్స్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ విత్ కృష్ణ, యూ టు రిమెంబర్ దిస్, ఆల్ ద గ్రేట్ సేజెస్ దే ఆల్ హ్యావ్ రీచ్ దట్ స్టేట్ అట్ డిఫరెంట్ లెవెల్స్. శుగర్ బ్రహ్మర్షి వాస్ లైక్ దాట్. యూ కెన్ సీ దాట్ ఇన్ ద భాగవతం. ఇట్స్ అన్ ఇట్ హీ సేయింగ్ they have realized the truth to that degree. You know the example in the Bhagavatam, what happened when Shuka Brahmarshi was coming without any clothes on, the women were bathing in the tank. So when they walked, came through, the women did not cover themselves with the cloth, nothing. They continued bathing as in the, that was a area where women were bathing on their own, and Shuka Brahmarshi walked through that place and they didn't cover themselves. Later on, Vedavyasa Maharshi came that way. They took clothes and covered themselves. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi thought, why did they do this to me when they came? So, what did the women say to them, to Vedavyasa? You still have a little bit of bodily identification. Shuka Brahmarshi has nothing, no connection with the body. In other words, when they saw Shuka Brahmarshi, they didn't feel even the slightest feeling of necessity to cover the body. Normally you feel shy, that's why you cover the body, isn't it, with the clothes. But they didn't feel the need when they saw Shuka Brahmarshi was walking through. Whereas when Veduvyas came, they are saying to him, you still have that to some degree, it hasn't gone completely. So who is bigger, son or father? When the son came through, they are saying practically they had no problem. But when the father came through, they got themselves dressed. It is because of that, you will see there later on, when Suda Goswami, who led Srimad Bhagavatam from Shiva Brahmarshi, says that, look into Bhagavatam, you will see that words, Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi. There is a statement there. Suda Goswami was so clear that Shuka Brahmarshi is in everyone's heart. If you have reached that state, it is me who is present in you, he, everyone. If I come to that state, where is the difference? There is no difference anymore. Tam sarvabhuda hridayam. In all living entities, it's me who is present in everyone. That muni anathosmi. I pay my obeisances to him. Who says this? Suda Goswami says this, isn't it? Yasyanubhavam akhila shruti saramegam adhyatma deepam atiti tirshadam tamondham samsarinam karunayah purana guhyam tam vyasasunam upayami gurum muninam. Isn't it? The verse before that is, what is that? What does it say? The first verse. Yam pravrajanda manupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano virahakataram ajuhavam putredidan maidayattaravo bhinedu tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi. That is that verse. He is saying here, yam pravrajandam anupetam apeta krityam. Shuka Brahmarshi was parivrajagan. Parivrajaga means doesn't want anything in this world. Imagine that state. Doesn't want anything from this world. No clothes, no food, no shelter, nothing. And he is going on in this world. Pravrajandam. That is called Parivrajagan. Parivrajaga Acharya we call it, isn't it? That Parivrajaga, from that word Pravrajandam. Anubedam Apeda Krityam. He hasn't even performed all the rituals necessary for purification. Generally, among the sages also, they have certain purificatory processes.
he didn't have anything done. Because at the time of birth itself he is liberated. He has come to this world in fully realized state. What can you do? What does he require after that? Just like Prahlada. Prahlada came like that, isn't it? The similar way, Shukha Brahmarshi also, when he came to this world, he was like that. Yam pravrajandam anupedam apedakrityam. Apedakrityam means no purificatory performances were done for him. Then, dvaipayano virahakadarama juhava. Shukha Brahmarshi left home as he was born. Vedavyas called him back. Putra, putra, he calls him back. My dear son, he had only one son and that son is living like this. So he called him back to come back. He didn't answer. Who? Shukha Brahmarshi didn't answer. Who answered then? All the trees and plants started answering. Imagine that. You are walking away and I am calling you back and all the trees and plants start answering that. So that's what has happened. And why did he do that? He did that deliberately to show to Vedavyas, I am not a person whom you can treat me like your son anymore. I am gone beyond all that. That was the message in that. And Vedavyas got the message. He is not the ordinary child. This has happened to many cases. Astamalaka's case is a typical example. If you study Astamalaka Gidam, you will see exactly the same thing happened. When Acharya Swamiji was on his travel, they came to Karnataka. And there was a very Brahminical enclave, a place where purely Vaidika Brahmanas lived. And there was one Brahmana there by name Prabhakar. And they had, Prabhakar had his wife and a son. The son was given the name as Hastamalaka later. So this Hastamalaka, from the birth itself, he won't speak one word. He won't speak one word. You can imagine when a child is born like that, how the parents will feel. Parents were trying to get him to speak and try to teach him Gayatri Mantram and other things and somehow to bring him into our line. Child won't oblige. Not one word he spoke. Finally, the parents got so upset that they didn't know what to do. It was then that Acharya Swamiji, in his Digvijay, he came through that particular village he was passing through. When they heard that he had come, they took this boy. He was by then about 12 or 13 years old. He hasn't spoken one word. If you give him some food, he will eat. If you don't give any food, he won't eat. This is what his nature was. His point was, I have nothing to do with this world. Similar situation like our Maharshi, our Shukha Brahmarshi. So they tried very hard to bring him to somehow to some life, but he won't speak one word. 12 years have gone like this. They brought him to Acharya and put him in front of him. So Acharya asked him a question. My dear son, he says to him, that you are very beautiful looking child. Why don't you tell me who are you? He said. That's because Acharya, as soon as he saw the child, understood this is not an ordinary child. They could see that. Because jnanis, they can see inside us what we are. Ordinary people, we won't know what is inside another person, isn't it? And therefore, when Acharya looked at him and immediately understood that this is not an ordinary child, he asked him, this verse we'll discuss later, who are you? He asked him. And you should read the answer what he said, exactly like here. Nadeva yaksho, naja manushyo, na brahmano, na kshatriya vaishya shudra, na brahmajari, na grihi vanastha, bichur, vishudna chaham, nija bodharupam. That was the answer. And 14 beautiful verses he spoke one after the other to Acharya. Acharya says to the parents, have you seen now what your son is like? This child is of no use to you. Give him to me, he said. And he took him with him. If you take him home, he won't speak one word. He's not going to speak to you anymore, one word. Because he is in that state. What can you do? He's already realized and he has come to this world. And after seeing the world, he doesn't want to deal with this world anymore. That's why he was so quiet about it. Bichurna chaham nija bodharupam. It says there, Bichurna chaham nija bodharupam. I am pure consciousness. That means when somebody is in that state, you can't do anything about it. That's what you find in the Bhagavatam also, that when Vedavyasa Maharshi asked the Shukha Brahmarshi to come back, trees and the plants were repairing, answering. Why is that? Because Shukha Brahmarshi knows very well, he is present in the trees, in the plants, and in all the other living entities as well. Once you have reached that state of realization, when they speak from that, we will find it very difficult to understand that. That's what has happened. So here, what happened was that, so great sages were present there, and then Krishna is saying here that Udasina Vadasinam Asaktam Teshu Karmasu. We have seen that in the last verse. And immediately in the next verse, Krishna says, because I am Udasina Vadasinam Mayadhyakshana Prakriti. My presence is sufficient. Prakriti will carry out everything. Prakriti is doing everything. Mayadhyakshana Prakriti Suyadesa Characharam Hedu Nanena Kaunteya Jagad Viparivartate. Jagat is doing everything in my presence. So, so in the Jagat, what is happening? Creation is happening. Maintenance is going on. Dissolution is happening, isn't it? Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam. Three things. Srishti is creation. Sthiti is the maintenance. And dissolution is the Samharam. All the three things are happening here. So, here, there is two things now. One, they call it as Vivartam. Vivartam and Parinamam. These are two important words in the Shastram in relationship with this. What does it mean? It means that Vivartavadam. Vivartavadam means Parinamavadam and Vivartavadam. Parinamam is what we, the scientists, now call it as evolution. Is it not? Evolution. Evolution means that it has changed into another. Has changed into another. Transformed into something else. Isn't it? So, what we study in the science is the evolution. Evolution. It means one thing changes to another. One thing changes to another. Let's look at this way. This Parinamavadam, which later on Darwin picked up and brought his theory of evolution. This evolution theory is there in the Vedam also. It's not a new thing. So, Parinamavadam, or the theory of evolution, what he has spoken about it. So, that is in one stage. Now we are saying that we are in the human species now in this stage. Probably when evolution happens, we may develop into something else and sometime later, which we don't know what it will be. But today we are like this anyway. So there, what they call it as, it's called as evolution, isn't it? It means everything is evolving, all the time evolving. This evolution theory is unacceptable from the Vedic point of view. Is unacceptable because evolution is an experience in the nature. It's an experience in nature. For example, milk turns into yogurt. Milk turns into yogurt. That's an evolution, isn't it? It turns into evolution. Now, Vivartam is different. Vivartam is different. Vivartam means, if you understand this difference, it's very important, because so many subtle things spoken in the Bhagavatam will only be clear if you understand this difference between Parinamam and Vivartam. Vivartam means that if you see a rope as a snake, that is Vivartam. You see that? Rope as a snake, that is Vivartam. Milk into yogurt is Parinamam. What is the difference? Difference is this. Milk once turns into yogurt, you cannot turn it back into milk again. That's not possible. Whereas rope turns to snake can be turned back into rope. Because it's only an effect in you. Actually, nothing has changed. Rope hasn't changed into snake. In your experience, rope has become a snake. All the effect of a snake has been created inside you. When you saw the rope. That means, due to in your perception, the change has happened from rope to snake. Rope to snake. Yeah. So, that experience inside can be changed if your understanding changes inside. It will become back again to rope. So, that's the main difference there. So, when you brought the light and looked at it, you realize that it is only a rope, not a snake. Isn't it? So, similarly, at no time the rope has become a snake. No rope has become a snake. In other words, no evolution has happened there. No evolutions have happened there. And none of the qualities of the snake is there in the rope. Is there in the rope. But due to some unknown reason, which we cannot explain what that reason is, some fear has developed inside me when I saw that rope, thinking that it is a snake there. Isn't it? This example is throughout the Bhagavatam. You will see there. Ghatakasham, Madhakasham. Similarly, Rajasarpam. These are all examples used in the Vedantam, which is there in the Bhagavatam in 8 or 10 places. Whenever Shuka Brahmarshi wants to talk to us about the truth, he uses these examples. Brahmastuti you will find in Brahma's prayers also. The same thing is spoken. So similarly, just like you have seen in the rope this snake, in the same way, this whole creation, this body, this mind, everything is what you are seeing instead of the soul. It is the soul that is present in all these forms. So I can only explain the theory side of it. Practically, it has to be experienced. What can you do? But that is the understanding. That Atma is the only substance, everything. Everything is Atma. Atma is appearing in front of us in the form of this world, in the form of this body and the mind, everything. So, and also the false ego in us. This is all nothing but Atma. That is what is called Vivartam. So, Parinamavadam, Vivartavadam, two things are there in the Vedam. And Parinamavadam is not acceptable, Vivartavadam is acceptable. In other words, Brahmam or Atma is what we are seeing actually through the senses, through the mind, and what we are experiencing. Till we realize that, it will remain like this. Everything separate, everything different. So, when self-realization happens, so this is the ultimate teaching in the Upanishads. Upanishads are telling us that actually only Brahmam exists, nothing else exists. Atma, the soul, Bodham, awareness, consciousness, Prajna, or Yapti. These are all different words used in the Shastram. Only soul exists, everything else doesn't exist. But just like you have mistaken the rope for a snake, similarly, Brahmam is mistaken by us in the form of Jagat, this world, in the form of this body, in the form of the mind, in the form of false ego, and in several other ways. Once you have realized that truth, when self-realization happens at that time, what happens? Just like the snake disappears and the rope comes back. Similarly, at the same way, the world, the body, the mind, everything disappears and the soul comes back again. Brahmam comes back again into our realization. That is what that verse Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying to us, you see, if you simply stay in the bodily level and if you always look at everything from a body and start analyzing, you won't be able to understand Bhagavad Gita's subtle message. Bhagavad Gita is spoken from the platform of the soul. Soul is more important, not this matter. Everything permanent is the soul, isn't it? That is the Sat. Based on the Sat, Asat has come. Asat has come from the Sat. Sat didn't come from the Asat. We want to identify with the Asat and want to understand the Sat. That's not possible. That is why in the beginning itself Krishna spoke that Na sado vidyade bhava, na bhavo vidyade sada. This is the message of the sages. Rishis are telling us, if you are in the platform of the Sat, then you can see how the Sat itself has come as Asat in front of us, and what you are experiencing is the Sat in another form, in the form of Asat. So there, when you come to the platform of the soul, you can see nothing exists outside the Sat, outside the Sat. Sat is the only reality. Only, that means, Satya means Krishna, Atma Vastu, soul. That is the only reality. Everything else is Vivartam. It is Vivartam it is. For example, for a self-realized soul, for him, time doesn't exist. We mentioned that before. Space doesn't exist. And often you will notice that They had no particular connection with a particular place either. Because in their state, they have gone beyond all this, time and space and everything. So every time when they are speaking something, they are speaking from that state, from the platform of realization, self-realization. So therefore for us, it may sound a little bit difficult because we are identifying with the body, identifying with the world, identifying with the mind, and our false ego also inside. With all that holding us together, we find it difficult to understand that language when they speak something about the truth. So Krishna alone, because Krishna alone in different namarupam, he is present in this world, in this creation, in prapancham, that's what you see. And so just like they give the example that with gold you manufacture so many things, isn't it? You manufacture different kinds of jewelry and bangles and rings and chain and for anklets and so many things, different kinds of jewelry you can make, but ultimately they are all the same gold in different forms, in different forms. So this shift that from originally there is a source, from there all the other things have come. This principle is what Krishna is saying. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Prakriti is not separately from me, another thing that is existing. It's me only, but the way changes that is happening in the prakriti, in my presence, Krishna says. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Hedu nanena kaunteya jagad vibari vartate. Change will only happen in the prakriti, not in me, because I am sat. Prakriti is asat. Krishna in the 7th chapter has already spoken about asat, and sat and asat he has already spoken. So it is like this. Sometimes give the example to make it understand better. You know this modern painting, you know, very famous people, artists, when they paint something, and if you go to these some of the famous galleries, they will have their display. Sometimes it's interesting to go and have a look at it, some of these famous painters. If you look at the picture, you won't understand anything. They have taken out a lot of color and thrown here, there, everywhere, and you look at it and you start saying, what's this so great about this? But then you can't say this to anybody because everybody is saying you have paid 10 or 15 pounds to see that. So you just look at it and you appreciate it and walk away from there. You can't do anything about it, isn't it? Because you don't know what it is all about. It looks so so modern that you don't know. That's what it is. So modern, such a thing. So sometimes you'll see a person, somebody explains to you what it is, what that painting is. Someone shows to you, this is a horse. And then somebody sitting on top of the horse, he has got a sword in his hand. And after he has explained to you all that, and then you look at the picture, and then you start making some sense out of it. Otherwise you don't get any sense when you look at the picture. It's completely French to you. You don't understand what's written there. So here you can see that as soon as somebody is explained to you what that is, you are able to connect with it in some way, isn't it? So you can, in the similarly you can see that that some people know, who are experts in painting, who knows that subtle art of painting, they will understand it, they will appreciate that. That's why they are there. That's why they are able to exhibit, and those who are judging them and giving them recognition for that. But that's a different class of people. Ordinary people, it looks completely, it's an unknown thing to us when we look at it, unless you are very expert in the painting. So similarly here, in the English, that when such a thing happens, generally what we say, there's a word for that. They say that, it's a shift in your understanding. That when somebody explains to you and then you start seeing it in a different way. They call it as paradigm shift.
That shift that happens when somebody has explained to you and you are able to go along with that. Paradigm shift. So here, in the same way, Krishna is saying to us that I am udasinava dasinam. I am not involved in anything. Asaktam teshu karmasu. No karmam touches me. I am not engaged in any karma. But when you look at Krishna, a lot of karmam is going through him, happening here. So therefore Krishna is saying, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyadesa characharam. All living entities, when Krishna is saying maya adhyakshena prakriti, he refers to all the living entities, not to himself alone. You have to remember that. That he is referring, he is situated in each one of us, isn't it? So the soul inside each one of us is not affected by any karmam that is happening through any one of us. No karmam in me, you or anybody affects the person. But the problem is, in Krishna's case, because there is no identification with the matter, in our case we have identification with the body, therefore we suffer, Krishna doesn't suffer. This is the principle behind it. Krishna doesn't suffer because there is no identification. Krishna's identification is pure consciousness in everyone. That is Krishna. Our identification is with the gross body, mind, ego. Therefore, we suffer. In order to explain that verse, Krishna is saying there, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyadesa characharam. All living entities also, I am present inside them, but I am not affected by anything what is happening through the karma what they perform in that body. I am not affected. But hetu nanena kaundaya jagad viparivartate. But all the changes that is happening in them and in their activities is not due to me but due to prakriti. Jagat viparivartate. Parivartanam, or the change is happening in the jagat. I am not responsible for that. That is prakriti who is doing that. Prakriti is doing that. That is the way we have to shift our attention to the world in this way. That is what is Krishna is saying here. So you can see here, once this understanding has come to a person, what Krishna is saying there in that these two verses, if this is realized, these two verses I'm saying, if it is realized, what will happen to that person? That is what in the Bhagavadam you find in the 11th canto. Khambayu magnim salilam mahimcha janeshu satyeshu disho drumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yalkincha bedam praname dananyaha. A personality, it was I think Hari Maharshi who said that. What did Hari say? Navayogis asked this question. What is the symptoms of a devotee? Who asked this question? Nimi. Nimi asked this question to Navayogis. Hari answered the question. The question was, what is the symptom of a devotee? I think it is in that connection that is spoken there. So there he is saying, a devotee is like this. What is that? Kham vayu magnim salilam mahim cha. Kham, sky, vayu, air, salilam, water, agni, fire. Kham vayu, that means all material elements. Janeshu, satveshu, disho, drumadin. All living entities in this world, all material elements in this world. Then, sarit, samudramsha, hare, shariram. Sarit means the rivers. And samudram is the ocean. Oceans, mountains, rivers, everything. Everything is Krishna's body. That's how they are seeing. And yel kincha bedam pranamed ananyaha. No differences between one to another. They are not experiencing any more differences from one to another. This is that state of realization. So, if these two verses, if you study and realize it, and a personality whom if you want to give as an example for this realization is that Hari Maharshi who spoke to Nimi in the Bhagavadam. Nimi, yeah. Khambayu Magnim, yes. Khambayu Magnim Salilam Mahimcha Janeshu Satyeshu Disho Drumadin Saril Samudramsha Hare Shariram Yal Kinja Bodham Praname Dhananyaha. Yes, it is Hari's words. Yeah. No, it was actually Kavi's words, not Hari. Kavi's words it was, Kavi Vacham. So Kavi says that, not Hari. So when the question was, first question from Nimi was, what is Bhagavata Dharma? That is an important question, isn't it? And among the nine sages, who were the children of who? Rishabhadev. The eldest was this Kavi who answered the first question. So Kavi's answer was this, about a devotee. He says, if he's realized, it will be like this. And he gave the example. And that realization matches with these two verses, what Krishna has spoken here. This is how you have to connect Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Because Bhagavadam is the history of those personalities who have realized. And if you have to get anything from Bhagavadam, this is what you have to get. What is that? Jadabharata's life, Dattatreya's life, Rishabhadev's life, these nine sages' life. They are showing to us, when self-realization happens, what happens to that person? What will be the state then? This is important, because otherwise it will remain simply, we will say, oh, he is Jadabharata, he can do anything. We are ordinary people, what can we do? This will be our approach. That is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is, Krishna is saying, why Vedavyas gave us all these personalities? Why did he present them to us? To tell us, look, when realization happens, this is the change that will happen in you. This is a change. To point out to that, all these examples are given. So Kavi Maharshi is saying to us that, Khamvayu magnim salilam mahimja janeshu satyeshu disho drumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yal kinjabudam pranamed ananyaha. That he has no separately anything anymore. Today, for us, everything is separate. River, mountain, living entities, birds, plants, trees, insects, everything is separate. Is it not? Everything is separate for us. But for a realized soul, na kinjabudam pranamet ananyaha, they are all not different from the truth. So what does he do? He pays obeisance to everything. After seeing that the tree, when he sees the trees and plants, he thinks they are not different from the soul, from Brahman. The mountains and the rivers are not different from the soul. This is how, with this understanding only, the worship of the rivers, trees, plants and other things has come into spiritual life. Because of this realization. That is how it has happened. People say that, oh, these people are worshipping the trees, these people are worshipping the rivers, these people are worshipping the mountains. Why do we worship them? Because they are not separate from the truth. They are also the same truth. Whether it is Govardhanam, whether it is another mountain, they are all Krishna's another manifestations. Today, in our through senses, we see it in one form. But in reality, they are not different from Krishna anymore. Only Krishna exists. Nothing else exists apart from that. So that is why Krishna says there. Till this stage comes, that our identity, Swarupam, is not different from anything else. It's not different from anything. Till we get to this state, even if you meet a realized soul, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. It is after this stage that when you meet a realized soul, he finally gives you that whatever you have realized it, what the guru does is he confirms that what you have realized is the truth. That is the guru's job. You have to realize it. Nowadays what people think is, I leave everything to the guru, let guru do the job. That doesn't work in spiritual life. Nowhere it's mentioned like that. What Krishna is saying to us is that develop this spiritual understanding, realize the truth. Finally, what happens is when you are in that state, you may have a lot of doubts still coming through. At that point, the spiritual master says to you, who is a realized soul, who has to be a realized soul, he says to you that what you have realized is that. What you are looking for. That is that Tattvamasi, famous Brahma Vakyam in the Upanishads. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam it is called. That Tattvam, what you are looking, is that you, Tvam Asi, you are that. Confirmation is the spiritual master's responsibility. So you can see here that At the moment, we do not know what we are, isn't it? We only know about our body, identification with the body. So, and the body is nothing but darkness. Body, another name for the body is darkness. Because with this body, what do we know about this body? We think that we know this body, but everything is happening in the body without your knowledge. All we know is how to eat. That's all what we know. Rest, everything what happens in the body, we have no idea what happens in the body. Body gets old, body gets sick, body dies and goes away, and we keep lamenting, oh, this has happened to me, this has happened to me. That shows our ignorance also, because I'm identifying with that, isn't it? So, but body doesn't care whether I cry or whether I laugh or whether I smile. Body doesn't bother. Body will do what it has to do. It'll come and go that way. Therefore, Krishna is saying, idam shariram kaundeya kshetram ityabhidhiyate. Arjuna, he says to Arjuna, this shariram kaundeya kshetram ityabhidhiyate. It is just a field only. It's nothing more than that. You remember? 13th chapter begins with that verse. Idam shariram kaundeya kshetram ityabhidhiyate. Why did Krishna call it as a kshetram? Kshetram means field. Field is the word. It's only a field. You come here, what do you do in the field? You cultivate some plants or you do some agriculture in the field. That's what the field is worth for. So similarly, this field, what we have come for, is to use this field to do some karma. Karma is what we are doing through this field, in this field. And the result is karma vasana comes out from that and some fruits you enjoy from that. After that you leave the field and you go. Field is left there, isn't it? So kshetram means field. That's all it means. So what does it grow here? The fruits that grows here in this field is karma, karma phalam, the results of the karma. So that three kinds of fruits born from this field, three kinds of fruits, prarabdham, agamam, sanjidam. Three kinds of fruits are grown in this field, which you know probably what it means. Prarabdham, agamam, sanjidam. That's the three names given to this. So so, this, when self-realization happens, when through cultivation of the knowledge and through the process of bhakti or jnanam, when finally the realization happens, when that darkness goes away from inside, when the darkness goes away, at the moment there is so much darkness inside, we don't know what we are, isn't it? So, when it was removed and looked inside, what we have seen, what has happened? We have seen inside, there is a light there, which is the soul, who is completely unaffected by the darkness, what was outside, what was experienced outside. Prarabdham, agamam, sanchidam, why they are three different karmam, is based on the sthulam, sushmam, karanam, shariram. Three bodies, three types of karma. They originate from these three different sources. From the sthulam body, that means gross body, experiences the prarabdham. Sushma shariram, or the subtle body, experiences all, carries all the agamam ones. And karana shariram carries the sanchidam. That's why the body, karanam means that, karana shariram means it's a bag. And bag means sanji. Sanji is the word for that, sanchidam. So, because it carries all the sanchida karmam, it is called karana shariram. And because it carries all the sushma shariram, carries all the agama karmam, because it carries that, it is called the sushma shariram, manasa. And then gross body is directly connected with the prarabdham, with the prarabdham. If this concept is very clear, you can see if you look into anybody, any great personality's life, you will notice this one thing, that they have gone beyond the prarabdham and the agamam, both have gone away from them. So they are able to stay in their sanchita karmam state and know very well that this body is going to drop at the appropriate time when the prarabdham is over. They can know that. The yogis know that when the body will drop. It's amazing. Really, we have not studied this body properly. We only use the body for enjoyment, isn't it? Normal tendency for all of us is to use the body for enjoyment. That's what we want from this body. Enjoy life. That's the only thing what we get from this body, isn't it? That's why I'm not this body, body is not mine, body is not for enjoyment. This concept has to be very strong inside. But it's not meant for enjoyment. It's not for that purpose it's been created. So here, once you have seen that, the only thing what we have to do is to get rid of that jnanam inside. Jnanam or avidya inside. So here there is no parinamam or evolution. There is no evolution. When Darwin brought all these theories, that he is seeing completely from the bodily level everything. He hasn't got a clue that there is a subtle body, there is a causal body. Unfortunately, that is how he saw things. He saw changes happening in the body, and he has brought this theory, and all scientists embraced that, and others also started accepting that without knowing the subtlety of that. So here, as far as Vedam is concerned, that nothing has changed here. Nothing has changed. Here, what Krishna is there as he is, and Krishna is the world, Krishna is everything, and nothing has changed here. Vivartam it is. What it is in our appearance, in our experience, all this is. In reality, nothing has changed. So whatever we address as the world now is also actually it is Krishna's, Krishna only who is present in there. But in what we see is the difference. What we see is the difference. What we see is the difference. Just like to give you the example for that, that sometimes when they worship Lord Shiva, Shiva has got Shivalingam, isn't it? Shiva's lingam is there. From one stone, they made a lingam. Shiva's lingam. And another stone they have put next to that, and the pujari is standing on that and is worshipping the Shivalingam. He is doing the different offerings and worship of the lingam inside. He is chanting various hymns, glorification of Shiva and other things. And that lingam and the stone where he is standing on, they are both made from the same stone. It's the same stone, isn't it? On one stone he is standing and is worshipping another stone. But this stone he considers as very holy and pure, and this is Shiva as far as he is concerned. But for an ordinary person, you look at it, they are both same. This is one side of the stone, that's the other side of the stone, isn't it? So he's not feeling that mood of worshipping Lord Shiva on the stone which one is standing with. But he's feeling another form towards the Shiva who is in the linga form, what has been carved out of it. So how did this happen? How did this happen? As far as we are concerned, both are same. Both are same stone, isn't it? From the same stone he has broken into two. On one he is standing, on another one he is worshipping. Because he has imposed on that form Lord Shiva. He imposed Lord Shiva on that form. That's how it has happened, isn't it? So from that onwards, it has become Shiva for him, because he has accepted it inside, that this is Shiva I am worshipping. That's all what he has done. There's nothing else has happened. He has accepted that I'm Shiva I am worshipping now. So this particular way of accepting something is called Adhyarovam. In Shastram they call it as Adhyarovam. Similarly, if this whole creation, if you are able to accept it as Krishna's presence, Krishna is this whole creation, therefore, then that ignorance will go away from inside. At the moment, we are seeing the world in the form of stones, earth, water, fire, and horses, donkeys, man, woman, in so many ways. All this is Shastram says to us, is Adhyarovam. Is Adhyarovam. Just like that person put that Shiva as the stone, here what has happened to us is that we have given these different names to it. But if we, the way he has put, imposed Shiva onto that stone, if we impose Brahman into every stage, in every living entity, in everything in this creation, Krishna says that by through thoughts you should develop that understanding, through the process of the thinking. It means you have to accept it completely inside. So instead of knowing this as man, woman, donkey, horse, dog, cow and all that, simply know this as Atma, 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 everywhere. Everywhere what exists is Atma. So, Atmai Vedam Sarvam. Atmai Vedam Sarvam. So one tiger has seen another tiger. One tiger has seen another tiger. So if this tiger calls the other tiger, "You tiger, come here," will the other tiger answer? It won't answer, would it? So he won't even look back. If one tiger is calling the another tiger, isn't it? So similarly, suppose a buffalo is going on the street. You call the buffalo, "You come here." Will buffalo answer? Buffalo is not going to answer to you, your question. What is the reason? Because words have no meaning for the uneducated. So they are not educated in that way. They are not trained in that way to think. So it doesn't mean anything to them. So suppose I don't know the French. Somebody calls me a buffalo in the French language, I'll probably smile. I won't know it. What does it mean, isn't it? So in a similar way, language is also sound only, and it means nothing. It means nothing. You have given some meaning to that words. That's why it is like that, isn't it? So every language is like that. So sometimes if he calls you, "You are just a buffalo," if he tells me in French, I'll probably think, "Oh, he's praising me," and I'll smile at him because I don't know what it means, isn't it? So similarly, so how everything is interpreted in the brain, how the brain interprets. The brain interpreted in one particular way, accordingly it will happen. So if it is not there, because we have accepted everything like that in this world. Now, how did I know that horse is a horse? Because in the books I have studied, and everybody has told me it is a horse, and this is how the horse is. Like this, it has gone into my head, and I have accepted it, and it has become a horse for me. Similarly, donkey. Similarly, man. Similarly, women. Similarly, everything in this world. What Krishna is saying here is that if you come out of this, and instead of seeing this horse, donkey, dog, cat, and all that, if you simply see that everything is Brahman, in the same way, Atma, Brahman, Atma, whichever way you want to call it. If you develop that way of thinking, it will become like that. That is the, Krishna said this to Uddhava also, Praname Dandavad Bhumau Asha Chandala Kokaram. Actually, Uddhava, there is no donkey here, there is no cat here, there is no dog here. That's all your concoction. You have created all that. I have not created. I didn't tell them that you are a cat, you go now, you are a donkey. I didn't create it like that. We, human species, have created all these things for our transactions in this world. We created all that. Krishna is saying to us that all that is avidya, what we have created like this. In fact, what exists here is only Atma. Only Atma is present here, dressed up in different way, in the form of male, female, cats, dogs. That's another thing. That's a dress. But vastu is one and the same thing. And there's only one vastu. That's Atma. So if you develop this understanding, Krishna is saying that this changes what is happening in the nature will not affect you. That's what will happen. Because now what affects us is the changes in the nature. Because we don't see Brahman, we don't see Atma, we don't see Krishna's presence in everything. Not Krishna's presence, it's Krishna himself is that. That vision is not there. Therefore, all the changes are affecting us. Everything was changing in the world. We think that everything is changing, I'm changing. Misillusion, that is called Brahman. Brahman in the word in the Shastram. So, when this interpretation of the brain, that is, the brain is interpreting, this is a dog, this is a cat, this is a horse, this is a man, this is a woman, this is an old man, this is a young boy, this is a young girl. This is all the interpretation. This is deeply embedded inside in us. Krishna says, take that out first. Take it out from inside. Because so many years we have accepted that, isn't it? Take that out and put it inside. It's all Atma, Atma, Atma everywhere. If you do like that, Krishna is saying here, that you will escape from Ragadvesham. Ragadvesham won't happen, otherwise it will happen. So once you have freed from Ragadvesham, it will not be very difficult to see everything as the soul. To see everything as the soul. Because as long as you have this unusual power inside called the mind, which is the origin where all ragadvesham, attachment, aversion, everything builds up from there.
from that moment onwards, once the mind is actively working inside, you start imposing things in the nature on various things. You will notice this one thing again. In Mary Mahalpa's case, they had no difficulty in dealing with the wild animals, isn't it? You remember they have the example like that. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going through the Charikan forest, tigers were coming close to him and he was patting them with the tigers were being patted. Lions and tigers were passing and freely roaring and moving through them, close to them. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. If you read, you will see this. Why is that? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not seeing them as tiger and cat and lion and snake. It's only Brahma Vastu there. Vastu is the same in all of that. When we see a dog, for example, a wild dog on the street, somebody has put some rein on that and holding on to it, and you're crossing that person, you will be more concerned about the dog than with the person then. Isn't it? Naturally, you take care that the dog is not wild, because sometimes you don't know, you hear this story, some dogs have attacked and ripped them off people. So naturally, you take care of yourself. So at that time, we have fear inside about the dog, because you are seeing that as the dog, and we have imposed many things on the dog. In the case of a realized person, that fear doesn't exist inside anymore with any living entity. Ravana Maharshi's case also, you have seen this. If you look into, you will see there. Tigers used to come and sleep on the lap, on his lap. And many other great personalities, they all had these qualities in them, that they are not seeing anymore any living entity as body anymore. They can't see that anymore as a body. So, what does it mean? What it shows is that there is no mind inside that body anymore. This is why they are able to do that. When you have a mind, you will interpret straight away. Mind will put it this imposition of a form, name and the form. This is a donkey and donkey has got all this nature. This is a dog and the dog has got all this nature. And we have imposed all that and we have registered everything in our head. Therefore, when you see a wild animal, a lion or tiger, you don't want to get any closer to that. But self-realized people, they have no difficulty in going closer to any of these wild animals. Why is that? Because when they look at the lion is not getting disturbed by their presence. Why does that happen? Because in him, he is not seeing the lion anymore. He is seeing as Atma, Brahman there in that body, present there. If in my mind, if inside me, I have a fear about a dog or about any wild animal, I cannot go closer to that because my fear inside will come out in that form. It's my fear that is come out through that body inside. Whereas if I do not have that fear, if it has gone away completely on the platform of the Brahman, if it is, this will not happen. The proof of that is these great personalities. If you analyze their life in this world, you will see that they were not least disturbed even in the association of the wild living entities. So, Krishna is saying here, when this mind is working, Jagad Vibarivartate, that is one important point there. That only when you are having this mind inside, only when you are experiencing, you are imposed so many things on different objects in this world, the changes in the happening in the world is affecting you. Only in that situation. Try to understand that. That Krishna is saying, Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. Krishna is saying, this parivartade or the changes that is happening in the, what are the changes? Changes is this. I am seeing different things, different forms. These changes happen to me. Why is that? Because of the presence of the mind inside. Jnanis and the great realized souls, they have escaped from the mind. So once the mind has left you, you have no more mind. All these changes have no impact on you anymore. So, world is important. Where is it important? As far as the changes that's happening inside you. Do not study the world and start looking at the world and say everything has changed. That has no meaning. what the effect the world has in you is more important. After saying this, Krishna moves on to the next verse, which you will see later. So, Krishna is saying that the najamam taini karmani nibadhnandi dhananjaya udasinava dasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. Krishna says that in the ninth verse, isn't it? So there, in that verse, Krishna has spoken about the nature of how karmam gets done through a realized person. That's what it is. Udasinava dasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. And therefore, a jnani or a realized person, no matter who it is, a yogi or a jnani or a bhakta, devotee, doesn't matter. If he has realized the self, that is the qualification. If he has realized the self, then najamam thani karmani. Karma will not bind him. Why? Udasinava dasinam. He is udasinam, indifferent to everything what is happening through that body. Asaktam teshu karmasu. Asaktam means not connected with anything. Karmasu, karmam and him is not connected. That's that word saying. Krishna is saying, if it is like that, then the next thing would be maya adhyakshana prakriti. Everything you have to remember, whether it's Krishna is speaking or other jnani, a realized soul is speaking, they are all saying the same thing. Nothing is different from one to another. Because in the realized state, it is not different from one person to another. Whether you come through jnanam, whether you come through bhakti, whether you come through karmam, or whether through come through yogam, it's exactly the same thing in the realized state. Because once you have realized the self, then after what happens is not based on a bodily level anymore. So therefore Krishna is saying, maya adhyakshena prakriti. At that time, that when Krishna says maya adhyakshana means Brahmam is the adhyakshan, or Atma is the adhyakshan at that time. Atma, which means Andaryami is the adhyakshan at that time. He is in the adhyaksha stage. That means he is just a witness to everything, but in his presence everything happens. If his karmam has come to this stage, which he has mentioned in the last verse, udasinava dasinam, then his presence in every body at that time is adhyaksha stage. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. He is only an adhyaksha in which prakriti carries out everything through that body, but he is completely detached from everything. So, which we have seen through the examples what we have spoken, that Krishna's activities, Durvasa's activities, and many others also, you will see the same thing. That's why that people, the Kavi Maharshi's statement based on that, Kham Vayu Magnim Salilam Mahimcha Janeshu Satyeshu Disho Drumadin Haril Samudramscha Hare Shariram. That is realization. Realization means all this. Realization, we give importance to something not that important. We are happy if sometimes we say, this is of course, it is in the devotee's life, we sometimes get carried away by little things, isn't it? Sometimes we say, oh, if the garland has dropped, we start immediately thinking, oh, there's something means something. Krishna is pleased with me. That means some story you will read somewhere and you start interpreting based on that, everything. So, like this, some little experiences in life, you start interpreting it like that in terms of spirituality and giving a flavor to that. Oh, I'm very spiritual, that's why it's all this is happening to me. And start thinking like that. But when you study Bhagavad Gita and when you start going through the process of knowledge, then you will know that they are all based on the mind. They are all based on the mind. Till the mind leaves you, and you are completely come to the platform of the soul, all other activities are little bit iffy, dodgy, in other words. You can't take it everything 100%. That is why I'm saying, when we read the stories and all other things in the Puranams, and also we hear so many people build up stories also. They are very good in India in building stories about about the temples. They'll install a deity and then they'll say this happened here and that happened here, and then it spreads very fast and then gets into the book and then it spreads everywhere, and then becomes the whole world start thinking that this is all correct, this has happened, it's very spiritual. But sometimes this is a problem because you can't do anything. If our spiritual life is centered around all these stories, then it will not get you very far. We'll get stuck somewhere. So anyway, Krishna is saying here, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suya Desa Characharam Hedu Nanena Kaundaya Jagad Yuvari Vartade. Krishna is saying, in how does this happen? That's what he has explained in that chapter. That Krishna is saying to us, he is Adhyaksha there. That means Andaryami, Krishna, who is present in everyone, is the Adhyaksha. Prakriti changes are happening, but as he mentioned in the previous verses, he told us also there that the that that to while moving away from this identity of the body, he's saying to us very simple principle. He's saying that everything in this world, in what you see, is actually Krishna. Cultivate that understanding. That is the first point. And he gave the example that all namarupam, name and form, what you see here, is we have given it. Krishna didn't give a name to anything. Krishna created different entities in different forms. They have come up with different bodies in this world. And we, for our convenience, we are given this is a cat, this is a dog, this is a man, this is a woman, and we have given different features for those different forms, isn't it? It's based on that our vyavaharam is going on in this world. Krishna's point is, if you want to come out of this, if you want to come out of this, the only way you can do that is by saying that it is Krishna who is in that form. That has to come. Somehow or the other, it has to happen. Therefore, he's saying that pay your obeisances to all the form, whichever you see, in whichever name, under whichever conditions you see, accepting that Brahman is present there. That is that we were talking about Vivartam and Parinamam. Remember that? Parinamam doesn't happen. Only Vivartam is there. Vivartavadam. Parinamavadam is not acceptable. Vivartavadam is the right thing. Because Parinamavadam means Krishna has changed into something. Krishna hasn't changed. What actually happened was, inside us, due to illusion, due to Maya, due to the Brahman inside, we are seeing something as a person with a particular name and form, or with another identity, based on the form only. Based on the form only. Just like you can see, suppose as soon as I say the name of a tiger, I say tiger, immediately in your mind that form comes of a tiger. And all, what else comes? The features of the tiger, the ferocious nature, its special teeth and its ferocious looks. Everything creates inside. That word itself has got that power to carry the whole impression behind it, isn't it, to us. So, but Krishna's point is, you may have called by any name, any living entity, doesn't matter. But in reality, that body and that form and the name and all has no meaning. From the spiritual point of view, it is the same Brahman which is present in there. Come to that state, Krishna is saying like that. And if it is like that, so Krishna says that, then you will understand Jagad Viparivartate. That word there on the last line. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam Hedu Nanena Kaunteya Jagad Viparivartade. This Viparivartade means this changes what has happened in the Brahman. Brahman as manifesting and appearing in front of us in these different forms. That is that Viparivartade means. Jagat Viparivartade. Jagat has become like this in this changed form in front of us. But in reality, Krishna says that is not its form. In reality, that is not the substance. Substance is Atma, or the soul, or the Brahman. But in Jagat Viparivartade, it transforms in this form and we experience it in that way. I don't know whether I made it as best as I can, but it is a difficult thing. Krishna is saying to us, Jagat Viparivartade. You see, the Jagat what we are experiencing now, this world, with all its varieties, different bodies, different names and different languages, different features. All these changes, Krishna saying, doesn't really exist. They are not its real form. The real form is their Brahman. But when you realize Brahman, you will see it that way. But till you realize Brahman, Krishna is saying, try to understand this, he says, that in my presence only, these experiences you are having like this. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyadesa characharam hetu, that is the cause of that, nanyena kaunteya jagad vibhari vartade, he is saying. Jagad vibhari vartade. That parivartanam, parivartanam means this transformation. Actually, no transformation has happened. It's only Brahman still. But conditioning has happened to us. We have got conditioned like this. That is called that parivartanam. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Jagad vibhari vartade. Actually, nothing has changed. It is Brahman still. But in our pratiti perception, we are experiencing it as this is man, this is woman, this is cat, this is dog. Like this, all other things has happened. In order, after saying this, Krishna is saying, even when I was in this world, when I was present here, the same thing has happened. That is the next words you will see. Avajanandima mutha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajanandi maam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajanandi maam mudha. Krishna is saying, calling us all mudhas, he says. He likes this word, mudha. I think in two or three places in the Bhagavad Gita, he has called us that, isn't it? Mudha. And we happily accept it. Yes, we are. Avajanandi maam mudha manushim tanum ashridam param bhavam ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram. That verse is very clear about the same thing what he spoke in the last verse. What Krishna is saying here is that fools deride me when I descend into the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme domination over all that be. That is just the translation. How we understand this? Krishna is saying to us that in the last two verses, he told us about while karmam happens, he is not connected with it anymore. First qualification, that najamam kani karmani nibadhanandi, nothing binds me, he said. That is one aspect of it. Then he said, because it is like that, I am only an adhyaksha. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. In prakriti, I am just an adhyaksha. And also, jagat vibhari vartade, that you are experiencing the world, and what you are seeing, some names and forms here. In different names and different forms, you are seeing it. Krishna is telling us, you are seeing this. But for me, these names and forms don't exist. For Krishna, these names and forms don't exist. What Krishna is seeing, each and every one in this world is Brahman for Krishna. It is Krishna is Brahman. It's only one, that Brahman. And that experience in that state, Krishna is speaking these things. All this is spoken in that sense. So therefore, Krishna is saying, when I came here, people took me in a different way. And they didn't, because they don't know me, who I am. Avajananti maam mudha. They are mudha, they don't know me. Avajananti, they don't know me. But they are thinking, manushim tanum ashridam. I am like them, another human being in this world I have come. That is the problem. Why this problem? Because even while Krishna was here, not many people recognized Krishna. Only very few people recognized Krishna as Krishna is. Many people thought that Krishna is also like one like us. Maybe he knows a little bit more than us. Or maybe Duryodhana says he knew a little bit more magic, he says. Duryodhana says, Krishna knows a lot more magic than me, he said. This happened. So, avajanandi maam mudha, manushim tanim ashridam, param bhavam ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram. Krishna says like that. So they are saying, avajanandi maam mudha. Krishna says that mudhaha. Mudhaha means, so they are thinking that I am an ordinary human being. They think like that. Krishna says about himself, he says, because parambhava majananda. Parambhavam Ajahn, they don't know my real nature, what I am. They don't know me. They're only seeing my form. Like I am seeing somebody's form and identifying with that form and the name. In the same way, they are seeing me also and they are identifying in the same way. They're saying Krishna is another person like me. What's the difference? They all say. Just like we say about others, isn't it? What's the difference between me and Obama? Obama is like me, another two hands, two legs. In the same way, you can say the same thing. The same thing they did to Krishna also when he came here. So Krishna is saying that so the important thing here is that if you look at Krishna's appearance, at the time of appearance, what happened? Then you will know this better. What happened at that time? So when Krishna appeared here, immediately everybody started saying, oh, it's a incarnation. Krishna is a whether it is Vishnu's incarnation or Krishna is the incarnation or Vishnu is incarnation or who is the source, who is incarnation, all these kinds of discussions started from that. So when Krishna was here, how many people knew that Krishna was, who is Krishna? Nobody really understood Krishna. Many people did not understand Krishna. It is very rarely they saw him as the absolute truth. As the absolute truth. They didn't know about him at all. So very few people have known Krishna and seen Krishna in that way. Seen Krishna in that way. That means to know that Krishna was in that state all the time. That was very rare. So the thing is that today, if we are feeling some respect or some feeling for Krishna, maybe we were there at that time while Krishna was here. We are not new here in this world, you know. It's not that we have come fresh to this world. We have come and gone so many times. I mean, and as Krishna mentioned before, these are the same people coming and going. So we were also there at the same time while Krishna was here. And we were also here while Ramchandra was here. We were here at that time also. We were here when Krishna was here. And the thing is this, that the fact that somehow a little bit of feeling for Krishna consciousness is there today, that is only because that something we must have accepted what Krishna has said at that time. Something we must have taken seriously. That's why we're feeling some connection with Krishna today. Otherwise it is not possible. That there must have been some connection with Krishna at that time, 5,000 years ago when Krishna was here. Something must have happened in our own life that we may have felt some connection with Krishna, which is, that's why we are still chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise we won't be chanting. So it is only for that reason that after 5,000 years we are still willing to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, who wants to hear Bhagavatam? Tell me. How many people are interested in hearing Bhagavatam? Some people are telling me that after reading Bhagavatam, they are completely spaced out with Bhagavatam. The other day, there was this story in the Bhagavatam. Anartha, the king of Anartha, he wanted to find a husband for his daughter. So what he did, he went to Lord Brahma's planet. The king of Anartha went to Lord Brahma's planet. And when he went there, Brahma was listening to music. There is a musical concert going on in the Brahmalokam. Musical concert was going on in the Brahmalokam. The daughter's name was Revati. Revati wants to find a husband for Revati. When he went there, Brahma was enjoying the concert. So he had to wait. After the concert was over, he told Brahma that I have my daughter, I want to get her married, I need a husband and everything. Brahma says to him, since you left and came here, 24 Chaturyugam has gone. Imagine how many years that is, you can calculate. One Chaturyugam is about something like 2-3 million years it comes to, isn't it? 2 or 3 million years, between 2 and 3 million years. 462, 864, 1.2, 1.8. If you add all these, so many million years. That's what it is. 1.8, 1.2, 862, and 864, 462. If you add all this, it is one Chaturyugam. One Chaturyugam, that is. Brahma is saying to him, 24 Chaturyugam has finished since you came here. If you go back, you won't find anybody there whom you have known at that time. There's nobody there who will know you.
It's there in the Bhagavatam story. And but Krishna has appeared and there is Balaram there. Marry her to Balaram. And that is how Kugudmi, that was the king, who took her and married her to Balaram. Balaram married Revati like that. Now this story is in the Bhagavatam. Can you believe somebody reads this and he says 24 Chaturyugam, if you multiply with say 2 million years, 48 million years have gone since you went to Brahma and came back. And naturally after 48 million years, what will happen in this world? You know what will happen. So therefore, sometimes it is very, very difficult to relate with certain things like that. But in spite of all these things, we still are willing to hear about Krishna. Isn't it? Why is it? Because it is in the same Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, also you can see here in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna is saying that Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam Vaivasvan Manuve Praha Manu Rikshagave Bhavit. Prabhupada has calculated that and says 40 million years ago, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan. He says there in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And I don't know how devotees take it, this 40 million years, how they can relate with it. Many times, devotees will have a difficulty that what was 40 million years ago happening here? Devotee will accept it on the words of Krishna's words, isn't it? Krishna was only saying, Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam. So, as soon as you bring time into it, it causes problem for all of us. We have great difficulty to adjust our mind along with that. So, what I was trying to say here was that when Krishna was also present here, many people found it very difficult to understand Krishna. They only thought that he is one like anybody else. There was no practically difference at all. So, but at that time, when Krishna was here, today we are saying Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are willing to worship Him, we are willing to chant the holy name, we are offering the prasadam, so many things we are doing to please Krishna. But in them days, when Krishna was present here, right in their middle, many people did not recognize Krishna. Many people did not recognize Krishna. So all the Yadavas were with him. Yadavas were with him. And they were very, very fortunate people, the Yadavas were. And they were born in Krishna's family and they didn't know who he was. They just thought that he is another member of the family. That's what they thought about him. So therefore, Uddhava says in the Bhagavatam, you will notice what Uddhava talked about them. Uddhava says about Krishna's family members. He says to them that I feel actually sorry for everyone. Uddhava says to, this is while Uddhava was talking to Vidura. Uddhava says, I feel sorry for everyone, but particularly I feel sorry for this family members, Krishna's family members. Particularly I feel sorry for them because when I think about them, that they had the greatest opportunity to know who Krishna was, but they didn't take advantage of that. Therefore, he felt extremely sorry for them. And he mentions that in the Bhagavatam to them, Bhagavatam to Vidura. So, he's saying that it is so unfortunate that they never understood who Krishna is. And he mentions like this, what was the example he gave? He gave an example there. Harim Meena Ivo Dubam. In the Bhagavatam you will see. What he says is, in the river and in the sea, you will see the moon is reflecting everywhere. In the rivers it reflects, in the ocean also it reflects. So in the fish in the river, they thought that this moon that is reflecting is also another living entity like them in the water. That's what they thought about the moon. They didn't know that the moon is a reflection of the moon in the sky. But seeing the reflection of the moon in the water, all the aquatics, all the fish and other living entities in the water, they thought moon is also another living entity like them in the water. Similarly, Krishna is saying all the Yadavas also, when Krishna was present here, they thought about Krishna in the same way. He is one like us. There is nothing difference in that. Every morning we are seeing him and every day we are seeing him, morning, evening. And there is no much difference and he is going on with his business. So, so Uddhava says like this, that even after Krishna came and lived in them, they did not recognize him. And Krishna is saying to us, Avajananti ma mudha
Manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram. In other words, practically Krishna says, it is impossible to know. This knowing a spiritual personality is a very difficult thing. That is the greatest problem. That somebody, what is their spiritual status? How would you know that? This is the difficulty. We think that it is something, we suppose, like we used to advertise before, meet a bona fide spiritual master. So, and people used to get carried away by that, that kind of advertisement. When I look at that now, it's just laughable. The whole thing is so laughable. Who decides who is bona fide? And who decides who is realized? That is where the difficulty comes. Now we are continuing the same legacy, still in the same way. We have made some people are deciding, somewhere sitting in some office or some meeting room, they sit together and they make the decision, these are all the people who knows the truth. Nobody else knows. And on that propaganda, the whole world is running like that, isn't it? People get trapped and cheated in that way. What can you do? So when you, this is because of this problem. Krishna is saying, when I was here, nobody understood me. And here we are sitting together and making committee and meetings and making decisions and releasing to the world. These are all the people who knows the truth. Even after seeing Krishna, people are finding it difficult to know the truth. So this difficulty is always there in spiritual life. That is why in spiritual life first we have to become qualified before we to know about somebody else's status. We have to become qualified. Till you know about another person's spiritual position, all you can do is to pay your obeisances to others. That's the point Krishna is making. Krishna is saying to us, when he was here, Avajanandi maam moda manushim tanim ashadam, they thought that I am also one like them, with a gross body, with a mind, with a false ego, with an intelligence like they have got. They were thinking about me in the same way. Krishna is saying like that. So here you can see, they give the example, jnanis, that when you light a lamp, say for example an oil lamp or a ghee lamp, if you looked at them, you will see right underneath there will be darkness, because the part which carries the oil and the wick is in the middle and it's burning. Right underneath that there is darkness, but it lights, gives light everywhere else, but right underneath that there is darkness. In a similarly, when a realized soul is present somewhere, you will notice the people who are around him, they won't know that. It is from far away place someone comes and finds out that that personality has some spiritual realization. Those who are around him, they will never take notice of it. They will always think, oh, he's after all he was our friend before. Now he's saying he's a yogi, he's a sannyasi. You know, this has happened to everybody. To many, many people it has happened. So therefore, first thing is, when you are in the presence of a personality, spiritually advanced soul, one has to be very alert. One has to be very alert about it. Because if you start giving attention to their body, and if you start giving attention to their mind or their external activities, and without our knowledge, we will fall into the body. We'll fall into the body. And we will start developing criticism in our brain. This is a big problem. When you come to know some great personality who is in a very advanced state, when you get closer to them, you will start giving attention to their body, attention to their mind, and attention to their activities. Cheshta means bodily activities, in other words. And if your attention falls on that, if your attention falls on those things, what you have to get from them, you won't get it. What you have to get from them, you won't get it. That's what will happen. Suppose you had, by Krishna's arrangement, you happen to meet a person who is in a very advanced state of spiritual life, and you got closer to him. And when you get closer to him, naturally what will happen? You will start observing his body, his mind, and you will also start observing his bodily activities, how he does things and things like that. And if all your attention falls on that, the spiritual benefit, what you would have normally got from that person, you may not get it. You will get trapped into this, into that bodily activities. That is why Krishna is saying here, it is to bring out this point that Krishna is mentioning this. Avajanandi maam utha manushim tanum ashridam. That they were, I was present there, and they were all with me there, all these Yadavas and many others, but they didn't get from me what they should have got. Only one person got it. Who got it? Uddhava got it. Is it not? Remember this? When, after all the things what happened, while Krishna decided to leave the planet, prior to that, this incident happened with the destruction of the family. All the family members got into fight and quarrel and killing each other. When all these things happened, Uddhava thought this could not have happened without Krishna's sanction. If he wanted, he could have saved them easily. Krishna could have saved them. Even if it is Durvasa or anybody, doesn't matter. Krishna could have saved, stopped that happening. But he didn't stop it. Instead, he allowed that to happen. And Uddhava says at that time, I understood at that time, Krishna has decided to leave the world. That's why he has allowed this to happen, because Uddhava could see through Krishna to a large extent. To a much higher degree, he knew what Krishna's plans and thoughts were. So he says to Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna, Naham tavangri kamalam kshanardham abhikeshava tektum samulsahe natha sodhama nayamamapi. That word is very important. Sodhama nayamamapi. I know one day he goes to Krishna and says to him, I know you are leaving, he said to Krishna. Krishna looked at Uddhava and says to Uddhava, how do you know? Uddhava says, I don't need, because if you are very close with someone, you will know what that person's thoughts are, isn't it? And Uddhava was so close to Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna, Sodhama nayamamapi, that you are on your way back to your own abode. You are going, I know that, he said. That Krishna says, so then Uddhava says to Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna, because they had been together for 112 years by now. So he says to him that you are leaving, you have to take me with you. You have to take me with you, he says to Krishna. That time Krishna decided that there is no question of me taking anybody with me. Everybody should come back on their own. This is what he likes saying. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna says that in the Bhagavadam also. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, if you look, you will see the statement, Uddhared Altman Altmanam. Altmanam avasadayal. Altmanyev Altmano bandhu. Altmayvaripura Altmana. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, everyone should come back on their own. Not expect me to take anybody from here. That is not Krishna's way. Even a close personality like Uddhava, Krishna says to him, you should come back on your own, not me taking you there. And that is why he told, gave the knowledge for coming back and sent him to Badrinath. Told him, go and reflect on all these things what I have spoken to you and then come back to me after that. I can take you if I want, but I am not going to do it, he said. That's the way Krishna is. So Krishna, because without realization, if one comes back from here, there will be problem. If that Krishna knows the problem, we are very silly people. We will say, get me out somehow from here. Give me the ticket, let me come there. If you go like that, what will happen is, when you go there, you won't be able to mingle with the people who are there properly, because you have got all these vasanas inside. It will come out in some form. So one day they will send you back from there. So it happened to Chitragedu, isn't it? You know that, Chitragedu's case, this happened. Chitragedu went there and he became a Gandharva or Vidyadhara, he was one of them, and they all went to see Lord Shiva, and there what happened? He started saying, what is this Lord Shiva, what's he doing here? Sitting here with Sri Parvati on the lap and completely naked, and this is, he doesn't know how to behave properly. He started making this kind of statements from there. So all the other Vidyadharas who were with him says to him that, why have you come here? We are not come here to judge Lord Shiva here, what he is doing and what he is not doing. So Lord Shiva smiled, Sri Parvati cursed him. And he had to come as Vritrasura later. You know that story in the Bhagavadam.
So why did this happen? Because Narada Maharshi told him, I'll take you back, and he took him back, and they sent him back from there. He had to come back here again. He had to come back not only in the human form, he has to come and say Vritrasura as the Asura form. But because he was a devotee, he was protected and he got back from there again later on. The problem what I'm saying is that if you go back without properly qualified, then the chances are that it can come back again. It can come back again. So that's why. So normally in the system is that you don't go back till you are ready for it. So Krishna is saying here, in the same way, in this verses also, Krishna says, Avajanandi ma mudha manushim tanu vashadam. To Uddhava he said, I'm not taking you back. This knowledge I have given to you, take it, study it, think about it, and realize it, and then come back. And then you are perfect. There's no question of coming back again. So that realization Krishna values, that is why Ekadasha Skandam was spoken to Uddhava. With all the attachment Uddhava had for Krishna, all the bhakti Krishna Uddhava had for Krishna, still Krishna says to Uddhava, realize this truth before you come back. So here you can see Krishna is going for as a representative of the Pandavas to see Kauravas, isn't it? It's to see Kauravas. So it's 5 o'clock. We'll stop there. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.